Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Have you ever been that lonely guy standing in the corner of a bar, lacking the confidence to approach a beautiful woman or even defend yourself if needed? Well, this is the book for you. Bar Jitsu, the American art of bar fighting, filled with tips, techniques, and stories aimed to help you become the barroom stud that you've always wanted to be. Pick up your copy of Bar Jitsu, the American art of bar fighting, online or at a bookstore near you.
Pre-order Bar Jitsu, the American art of bar fighting, now on Amazon through barjutsu.com. That's barjutsu.com. Also find them on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
SWN.shiningwizards.com. That's right, SWN.shiningwizards.com. We have the Fallen Angels, the Midnight Jury, the Neckbreaker Podcast, 2.5 Wrestlers, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Pro Wrestling 101 with Justin Credible, and the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. For your one-stop shopping for all things sports entertainment broadcasting, head on over to swn.shiningwizards.com. Tell them Phil sent you, and you'll get absolutely nothing. That's the Shining Wizards Wrestling Network. Entertainment here. Ho, ho, ho. Season's beating, boys and girls. It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea from the Turnbuckle Throwback Wrestling Podcast, inviting all of you to join all of us live, that's right, live, on December 20th at 8 p.m. for the Turnbuckle Throwback's first annual Christmas Spectacular. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to have giveaways. We're going to take calls. We're going to have a very special guest in the studio and a very, very cool throwback going back to 1989 doing Stargate Future Shock. How cool was that? So please, guys, join us on the Rantham Radio Network. Join the chat room. If you can't be with us that night, download the TuneIn app to your smartphone or your Android device. And season's beatings and happy holidays.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is No Fear Mike Mondo, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. So tune in, people. It's gut check time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are all back in the studio. Episode 120 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
I'm Gary Hart.
I'm the Great Muda.
I'm Terry Funk.
I'm Jake the Snake Roberts. Does that work? Does that work? Was he in that?
I don't know where Gary Hart came from. I think it was Lopez that put it in.
Oh, Bruiser Brody? Can I go Bruiser Brody? Can I change to Bruiser Brody?
No. All your first answer is your final answer, Kevin. I'm sorry.
Ah, asshole.
I think you failed, Ozer. I don't think Jake was in the Tex Corp.
You failed?
No, Kevin.
Oh, Kevin?
I was thinking of Sullivan and like the Legion of Doom thing with Bundy and him and
Bundy
Warriors.
Was in that. I forgot about
that.
The original Legion of Doom. Yeah.
Well, speaking of fuck-ups... It's been a while.
I like this version the best.
Yeah, this is awesome.
I actually like this.
It's kind of loud, but whatever. We can change that. There we go. I got to tell you guys right now, the Leap and Lanny Poffo episode last week that I regret not being a part of was awesome. Awesome. Thank you for the applause, Kevin, because I've got business to get to.
Business, if you will.
All right, I'm going to start with you because you said business.
Business.
Hold on, before you get into that, just so we did the JTEX Corp.
Okay.
Terry Funk's in it. Great Mood is in it. Gary Hart is in it. Jake Roberts is not in it.
Didn't we already just say that?
Yeah.
Did we already acknowledge that?
Well, Dick Slater, you could have chose. Buzz Sawyer or the Dragon Master.
Oh, Ricky Dragon Steamboat.
Was that? I don't
the
even
Dragon
know.
Dragon Master. Ricky Dragon sounds Steamboat? Sounds like an 8-bit video game.
No. Ricky Dragon Steamboat. Happy birthday, Pauly.
I have a feeling we've had this conversation before.
The Dragon Master was Kendo Nagasaki.
God bless you.
Inventor of the Kendo Stick.
All right, so go ahead. What did
hit you
we
with
fuck
a Kendo
up last
stick.
Week?
I had a feeling that we've had this conversation before with Eddie, but when you fall into something and you kind of give up on like certain aspects of it to make it seem more real, it's suspending disbelief, not suspending belief.
I caught that as soon as I said it, and I was hoping that no one would catch that. Oh, I was like,
I'm sorry, sir. I really enjoyed the episode, and things were really jumping out. But I don't know where Matt was coming from when he came up with the word phenomaly.
It's like an anomaly.
You rule.
You know,
that's
like
what happens.
It's an anomaly with the Undertaker.
That's what happens when you leave the children alone without a babysitter.
The phenomaly.
It's a really special anomaly. You know what I mean? It's really cool.
I'm sorry. I just feel like we needed to bring some of the old gimmicks back to the show. And we had a couple of doozies there.
Well, I had one a couple weeks ago, too. I made up a word.
Which one was it?
Oh, I don't remember.
I know. We got to start paying more attention to ourselves. It's so much fun pointing out our shortcomings.
Wow.
Yahtzee.
Speaking of shortcomings, anybody watch Raw this week?
You're going to skip right over Impact? Okay. Or even bother telling people who our guests are tonight?
Oh. All right, fine. You know what? We are going to be speaking to Ring of Honor's own Maria Kanellis' fiancé, Mr. Mike Bennett.
Hot fiancé?
Yes. Also known as Piwis Payne, according to my wife.
funny you mentioned that. We will also be joined in studio by PWS Payne, part of the Untouchable group. And once he gets
here. Pro Wrestling
here,
Syndicate.
From wherever the fuck he's coming from.
Payne Island.
We had some rough weather here in New Jersey today. So, but he's on his way. He told me he will be here. So whenever he gets here. Matthew, Impact.
Okay. Did anyone watch Impact?
I didn't.
Okay, for like the last couple of weeks, I don't think anyone's really been watching Impact in our group.
Adam Henning has been from Midnight Jury.
Well, he's not
here. I work
here
Thursday nights. It's tough. I have it on, but it's not. I can't listen to it.
I have breathing and blinking to do.
Wow.
Well, look, you breathe and you blink through last night's episode of Raw, and it was a lot more painful than sitting through 2 hours of Impact.
I really disagree about Raw, but go ahead. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that later.
Yes.
So, Adam Henning from the Midnight Jury, him and Adam Norndonger.
Mike. Yes, Adam Henning and Adam Norndonger. Wait a minute. Wait, let me cue it up again.
That was perfect for you to play.
Adam Norndonger.
No, Norndonger.
Norndonger. They're the newest members.
Thank you, Lanny, for that one.
Lanny's Cartman impression. Nice. Like Norndonger.
So those guys have been really high on Impact. So
must be high on something to watch.
I know they're both high.
I was a bit under the weather during our Lanny Poffo interview, which would explain me making up words.
I couldn't tell, bro.
Look for an
fine
excuse for being a retard.
Timber!
So Friday I got around. I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch Impact. Everyone seems to be really high on it. I'll check it out. They have a great formula. 2 hour show, and they don't try and jam a whole bunch of crap down your throat.
Crap.
Starts off with a great montage. They're down to the final four in their World Heavyweight title tournament. Jeff Hardy, Kurt Angle, Bobby Roode, and Magnus.
Yes.
The show opens with Hardy against Roode in a tables match. Nothing, you know, too crazy. Tells a great story. Hardy knocks Roode through the tables. But he does, like, one of those flippy-do things while Roode is holding onto the ropes, and he kind of slips off the ropes and falls through the table.
He lost, but he didn't lose.
He lost, but he still looks strong.
Gotcha.
Ethan Carter, the third, his character is unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah. For those not familiar, he was Derek Bateman in NXT.
Yeah.
And his whole gimmick is that he's Dixie's nephew. So his first like five matches have been squash jobs. He's been wrestling legit jobbers.
I thought I saw like last week he wrestled like two real toothpicky guys.
Yeah.
And he actually let those guys get a few moves on him, but
I think every match he gets, he lets the jobbers get a few shots in there.
A little bit.
Yeah. I watched one of them and I tried to catch his promos and they're not bad.
No, so this week he comes out and he says, I'm going to challenge a true legend in the world of professional wrestling.
Oh, I did see this. Okay.
And Earl Hebner's in the ring with him and he fucking challenges Earl Hebner.
That's good shit.
And it's,
that is good.
You know what? It's cheap heat, but you know what? It builds his character as just an arrogant douchebag. You know, you know, my aunt is the boss. You need to do what I say or you're going to get fired. You need to lay down and get pinned or I'm going to knock you out.
They're building him better than Xavier Woods.
Yes. And they call out Hebner's kid and he has to count his father. And then he makes him roll his father out of the ring when he's done. It's great. It's great heel work. They're really working on building him. It's just unfortunate. Like I told Eddie last week, I was at Universal.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the fact that you're going to get tourists and all these sort of people in to see Impact, I don't think it helps them.
I was there back in February at Universal, and, yeah, it just happened to not be a taping day. But I did get one of their, like, fold-out maps of the park, and it had the whole listing of, like, dates and times and stuff. But they were also filming the Hulk Hogan midget wrestling while I was there.
Oh, but micro championship wrestling?
Yeah, it was a little too far for me to get there. It was, like, at some bar, like, 20 minutes outside of Orlando. Man. But
midgets.
Midgets. Midgets rule.
Midgets smell like cabbage.
Christopher Daniels and Kazarian continue to be
bad influence. It's the greatest thing they got going.
The most entertaining thing in wrestling.
Yeah. The most entertaining.
They're awesome.
They're still doing their shtick where they're trying to figure out what makes Joseph Park snap. They fly to Chicago to his law offices.
Oh, real? They find out that he hasn't been practicing.
He hasn't been practicing for like 10 years. So then they start smacking him around. He's like, guys, leave me alone. You know, and I don't think he gets enough credit for playing the dual characters of Joseph Park
and
Abyss.
How long has he been doing the Joseph Park?
It's been a long time. 2 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Maybe more.
And people seem to enjoy that, right?
Well, I don't think anyone really expected it to be a long-term thing, but then it just caught on.
Yeah.
And it was, and we were all waiting for the blow-off and for Abyss to come back, and everyone thought that Abyss would be back by now. I mean, I did. But now, Joseph, it's still going strong, and he's making it work.
Remember how we all talked about how TNA would be so much better if they were in arenas with live, real wrestling fans? And they tried it, and it just didn't work.
Yeah, about that.
Why don't you think that worked? Why didn't it work?
Because I don't think Podunk, Arkansas is a place to go have a wrestling show.
I think it's that and the fact that they were really dragging the Mafia and bringing in these UFC fighters that didn't do shit.
I think the Mafia hurt. I think Aces and Eights hurt, too.
That hurt
It started well enough, but when they started naming people, like it just didn't put anybody over. It's like D'Lo Brown's here and fucking Mike
Luke
Knox.
Gallows.
It's like, yeah, it's like
Knox.
It's like when they did WCW Invasion. I mean, we love Lance Storm, but when Lance Storm comes flying into the ring and super kicking people.
I just think with TNA, I don't think it mattered what product they put out there. It was the markets they went to. It was the amount of like the space of the venue that they drew. Like they were doing like thousand seat arenas, and only filling the hard camera side, and everything else was. So like I honestly don't know what they could have done better.
Their product was kind of shitty for a while.
Yeah. I think they did it right when they were in Brooklyn, though. They've been back
in Brooklyn.
Like,
that's New York. New York is a hotbed, so they're going to go.
They play at like the Cyclone Stadium,
don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, apparently they draw like at least a couple thousand people there.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're going to get like Brooklyn, Chicago. Like those markets are going to always hit no matter what you put in there.
Brooklyn.
They might be thinking that they need to hit areas that WWF or WWE is not in, which is a mistake.
Like what? The moon?
Yeah, well. But I mean, like. It's like go to.
No, they have an office there.
They probably do.
They have an office on the moon.
That's true. I forgot about that.
And my nephew's there, child. I'd stick it to her. That's all I'm going to say. All
right, fair enough.
Yeah.
The Bromans are a very entertaining tag team. They're also the tag team champions.
Yeah, talk into the front of the microphone.
A lot of people don't like Robbie E.
Well, that's just in general.
Kevin Matthews. Yo, bro, give me $20. I'll watch your tape for you.
Him against Storm and Gunner, or them against Storm and Gunner, was entertaining. They got the win, and they're teasing a Storm and Gunner breakup, which makes sense. I think Gunner should be a huge star.
He should have a first name, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Can you give him a first name for me, please?
Hot Gunner.
Rick.
Rick.
Troy.
Rick.
Troy Gunner. I always thought that those two guys should have had a team name too, instead of just James, like call them like the six shooters. You got the Cowboy James Storm, you got Troy Gunner.
That's right. How could they not play on that?
He needs another weapon name. I'm thinking Blade Gunner.
Or like
Blade
Gunner. The Hot Shots. Right. Call them the Hot Shots.
Something like that. Six shooters, something like weaponry.
When they break up, they could bring in somebody new and call it Hot Shots Part Two.
A-boo.
Sorry.
A-boo.
Nope. I like it.
It's better than
Rybacksel.
All right, are we getting into Raw?
Yeah, let me finish up.
No, let's, because I still want to talk about a couple more big topics in TNA, unless you want to save that for the news.
Go for it, Kev.
Unless you want to talk about the news portion of it.
Yeah, I think we'll save that for the news.
Save that for the news.
I just want to finish up the last match. Okay. Magnus Kurt Angle, last man standing. My only problem.
Oh, I smell it.
My only problem with this match, they go back and forth the whole nine. Bobby Roode comes out and beats the shit out of Kurt Angle. They're both down. Eight, nine. It's going around. It's
Matt's
contagious.
Next.
Eight, nine. Magnus stands up. They count ten, and then Magnus just falls down. And they declare him the winner.
So he won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could fall down after 10, can't
that
you?
It's fucking stinks
it's
down
like,
here now.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Eddie. My God. Fucking Nigel's going to listen back to this, and he's going to be like, what the fuck did I get Mike into?
Hello. No, he's not.
So, your finals for the TNA Impact World Heavyweight Championship, Magnus, Jeff Hardy, and not this Thursday, next Thursday, they're doing like Turning Point or something.
Okay, so then let me ask the question.
That didn't happen yet?
It did, but it
did. It did, but it didn't.
Okay.
We're going to keep kayfabe alive.
Sure.
Yeah.
One of those guys won, though. what, I know, Jesus.
Spoiler.
So what's the deal with AJ? Are they just going to strip him of the belt? I mean.
Well, he's leaving for reals.
That's what I wanted to bring up.
Oh, all right. Don't, might as well bring
talk
it
about
up.
That. We can talk about it. I don't
mind. Talk about it now.
Yeah.
Talk
about it now. It's all affiliate. It's
all right. You know what? No, let's follow format. Let's go to Raw.
I like your style.
Atta boy. AJ style.
You like my style? Jesus.
AJ style.
Yeah, I like the format.
I think we should have a format.
He likes the format because it has Matt in it.
Are you the son or the daughter?
He's for Matt.
Of a former professional wrestler?
Okay.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
No.
All right,
so you're saying that you had to work to get to where you are?
I work every day.
He worked as hard as
all
Cena.
Day, every day.
Cena did to get to where he is.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning of Raw. That was just a little bit of what they call a teaser.
A teaser?
Yes.
All right, first of all.
Well, we don't have to go through Raw minute by minute.
Are the Slammies the biggest piece of shit ever? Or
it's
yep.
All this is a gimmick, dude.
I hate how they opened it up like the MTV Music Awards. Starring Shawn Michaels,
now,
Booker T.
I didn't see that. Is that what they did?
Yeah.
Oh, well, my God.
I also heard it was the opening shits. For the 2012 Slammy Awards.
I took a picture off my TV.
Stupid.
Fucking dumbasses.
How do you fuck that up?
It's WWE. They're just not paying attention.
They phenomenally screwed up.
You know, I try to suspend my belief when I watch these shows.
I think you would have to in this case.
Suspend my belief.
Indubitably.
I believe in God, but for this, I had to. Sorry, God.
Indubitably. All right, so Raw thoughts. Let's go around the room. Let's go around the room with some Raw thoughts, since I don't want to cover it by match.
What is the point of Tamina Snuka wrestling Natty Neidhart again and losing again? Going home to AJ, taking on AJ for the title this weekend.
Of course, you want
to
talk about.
I was about to say this is where we're going to start.
It's the only thing I can remember other than the finale. So let's
no fucking Daniel Bryan Fandango to start off.
We're going around the circle, bro. This is my topic.
That's the only thing you can remember is a shitty, fucking
2 minute
daughter of the guy who killed his girlfriend.
Oh, all right.
Against
half
a Hulk face.
No,
art.
Time out. Real thing. Jesus.
Dude.
All right, two things.
Dude.
Two things. Number one, I've been watching the Dynamite Kid documentary. Not a fan, by the way.
Of the documentary or Dynamite Kid?
Well, Dynamite is, I don't care personally, like, that he put a shotgun to his wife's head.
Can you understand him?
He
is it more like lippy, lippy, pipey
sinking?
Dude,
it's 40 minutes of other people talking about him, and they're like, what do you think of Rujo? He's an asshole. And then they cut away back to somebody else. Like, he's not even in the thing.
Well, he's not in good health right now at all.
No, now, but I don't know when they filmed this thing.
Yeah.
But shit, there were two things. One, Jim Neidhart is in the documentary, and he's twitching a lot like he did in that interview with the baseball game.
Uh-huh.
And two, yes, Brett, you could see the droopiness on his face during that interview, bro. Because they had Bret Hart in the thing.
Yeah.
Oof. But yeah, but I did like that Natty, when she came out, Brett was already on the stage and she
that
came
was
over,
good.
Gave him a nice hug, a nice kiss, whatever, you know, hey uncle, how you doing?
She has a great sharpshooter.
She's good.
She's a great wrestler.
I really regret
Tamina's good too though. If they had maybe 10 minutes.
Because Eddie's asshole fucking smells like dead animals.
I have anxiety.
For those of you who don't know, Matt asked off the mic, why does it smell down here? And then they had the response because Eddie's asshole smells like dead animals.
I have anxiety.
If your ass smells like dead animals.
And
like
I think our
animals.
Guest is going to be here soon, so he's going to enjoy the fuck out of that.
He's going to have to feel the pain as he walks
dun,
in.
Dun, dun,
all right, Tony, is that anything else you got on roll?
No, I thought we were going around the circle.
Yeah, Eddie, sure.
You might as well. Yeah,
no, that's what I meant. You, like,
I hated
yourself.
Cool.
The order they did the introductions to who would do the slammies, then like the introductions to the wrestlers, then back to the winners of the slammies, and then the match.
If any of you were following my Facebook or Twitter, I ripped that shit apart.
Yeah, Kevin was on fire.
Awkward.
Yesterday.
Ripped it apart. It
awkward.
Makes no sense. You're completely, first of all, you're demeaning the value of the match in the ring by not acknowledging it. Everyone's going to forget about their entrances, and it's just going to look like eight jobbers in the ring with no entrances.
And that's what it seemed like.
And that's what it seemed like, because I had to have a speech that has nothing to do with the match. It didn't make sense.
It did not make sense.
In Slammy's past, like, the only thing good about the Slammy's was the fact that it was quick and painless. Intro, speech, and then maybe an angle setup.
Yes.
Where they would set up an angle with it. Now, I mean, I don't know if they did off the top of my head. I don't know if they set up any angles with the Slammy Awards other than the final end, which was not the Slammy part.
Well, no, I mean, Daniel Bryan, HBK, they kind of like...
They teased
there's going to be no payoff.
But other than that, like, you would always get something out of the Slammies, and at least if you didn't, it was just fine for what it was, and you had a surprise return here and there. You had a nice little moment here and there. But the whole format of drawing it out, it was just like, holy shit, no one likes the Slammies to begin with, and now you're just going to make it longer.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm sorry, Eddie, go back to you.
Hold on. We have a guest of honor has arrived.
There it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, entering the studio now.
Wearing the same shirt that I am.
Oh, that's a coincidence. No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's just purple.
It's just purple.
Yeah. Purple your ass.
Oh,
Mr. PWS Payne is in the house.
Chris Payne
there
is here.
He is. Yeah. And he brought some merch. Merch for everyone. No, all the way from Long Island. Same thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
An island's an island.
I think there's a big difference.
Yeah, because Manhattan's an island and he's not from there.
True.
And also, Aruba is an island and I'm pretty sure he's not from there.
He might be.
You never know. That's true.
What's going on, dude?
Let's get them all situated. All right, we'll continue with the Raw stuff, and then we'll say hello. Eddie, anything else?
Opening with Brian Fandango. Interesting.
Was that the first thing that started the show?
Basically, yeah.
There was nothing else other than like that stupid intro montage I did for the
right. Now,
the
I just think it's weird because they were in Washington.
Yeah.
Why not let the crowd, like, you know, want for him more and then show him, like,
you know
middle.
What? Maybe because they probably did not want to distract from other stuff, so
which
they figured if they
anyway.
Which it did eventually, it did, but maybe their logic was, we'll give them Daniel Bryan right away and then maybe we'll get it out of their system
and then we can do what
and
we're
then
doing.
We can do whatever we want, and people will react to Cena, react to Orton,
which they didn't,
but that's the only thing I can think of. And but
you're
first
right.
of all, if Daniel
you're
Bryan's
right.
only on the show in that segment against Fandango, it's a waste anyway, so
yeah,
who knows.
You need help with the mic?
I'm good.
You sure?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got him. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Payne. The man, leader of the Untouchables from Pro Wrestling Syndicate. What's up, buddy?
Not much. What's going on?
Not too much at all. We're just going to go over. We're just finishing our Raw thoughts, going around the room, and we'll love to get your...
Well, Chris Payne was on Raw, like, last week.
That's right. He was. He was actually in the main event.
How'd it feel?
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing just being on TV for
still,
a few seconds.
Still get a kick out of going to live shows like that?
I do. That one in particular, because I was able to bring my nephew Jake.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
Everyone sees the pictures on Facebook and they're like, oh, Payne jumped in and photobombed some kid's photo. They don't know it's my nephew that I took to the show.
That's
yeah, but
awesome.
I still
awesome.
Photobombed it, though.
Yeah. You know, whatever. You were front row, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were. My sister was. She got confused. She thought we were, like, right by the ramp. We were a little off, but, you know, front row.
Still.
Yeah, I had Linda McMahon's personal security in my face the whole entire time, so that was pretty annoying.
Lovely.
Yeah. Charles Roberts was out there talking to some girl. I have no idea.
So you were with your nephew. How old is he? He's a younger guy. He's like, what?
He's three.
He's three. Okay, so he loves the wrestling.
Loves wrestling.
So that probably makes it more fun for you to go live with the kids.
Oh, 100%.
See, that's why they're maybe gearing more towards...
Dude, I still get a kick out of going to shows live.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. I enjoy it. I've been doing it for so long. But, so, I mean, but it's got to be special when you have someone that young to share it with.
Yeah,
and stuff
that's
like
awesome.
That.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's got to be cool.
It's my passion. So, when he, knowing that he likes it as much as he does and he's so young, And
yeah,
he doesn't understand, but he knows, like...
Oh, of course.
You know what I'm saying?
With the lights and the characters and all the stuff going on, he's got to know.
He just, don't bring him around the Wyatts. He's terrified.
I'm terrified of the Wyatts, too.
For another reason.
Well, I'm scared of the dark, so I mean, when the lights go out, I don't
there you go. There you go.
Do you think they put Daniel Bryan in against Fandango to kind of, like, squash Fandango, like the whole da-da-da-da-da?
I don't know.
That's been dead for like months.
When they were back in England, dude, it was in full effect.
Well, England's different.
England was one that brought it to Jersey.
We should move to England, bro. It sounds like so much fun over there. Enjoy TNA. They go to all the fucking WWE shows.
We can live with Nigel.
Hello.
In his flat.
Actually, we can live with Bozza Smith.
I don't know. I like brushing my teeth and...
And that's it?
And that's it.
And that's about it.
That's about all for dental hygiene for Matt.
Oh, and I like using the fucking... I like the metric system.
So then you should go there.
Then you should go there.
Because that's what it is.
Use the metric system.
I'm torn.
Payne, you watched Raw last night.
I watched some of it.
Any thoughts on the whole slammy format? And did you see the ending, the closing angle?
I thought that the ending was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement on that.
Finally, something.
Somebody was shitting on it on Facebook. I forget who it was.
Some idiot. Yeah.
It was probably me who said that it takes 20 world champions.
Yes, it was you asshole.
It was.
I was right. Some idiot.
To finally, I knew this was gonna happen, motherfucker.
It starts.
Better you than me.
I knew it was gonna be me because I see him a lot at the shows. Because you finally make the go-home show, and it takes you to the go-home show to make it important. And not only does it take till the go-home show, but it takes 20 former world champions to be in the ring with you. And the biggest reactions of that whole segment, other than Cena, who was getting some response from the crowd, was CM Punk getting involved, was Shawn Michaels getting involved, was Daniel Bryan getting involved. The biggest reactions of that had nothing to do with Cena and Orton, but it still felt pretty cool.
It felt big. It felt huge.
That's what it was, and I'm glad they did it. And it was the go home show. So, if they had done this, it's hard to say. The point of the go home show is to get you to buy it. So, I guess I have no complaints in that regard. But it just took so long for it to make it seem like the crowd cared. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was also a lot of stories coming together, which they don't do anymore.
Yeah.
It's nice that everything's all tied together for once. Yeah. Exactly. And I think it was cool that they brought out all the champions, although I could have dealt without Khali being there.
Oh my God, that was ridiculous.
You know, it's stupid.
He had like this blank look on his face.
They have him kissing people and like he's a jobber now.
He's a legend.
Yeah, but like all of a sudden, like, oh, remember when he was a
How
tough
dare
guy?
You.
It's like, and then The Miz is standing next to him, Mark Henry's standing behind Cena. It was just kind of like,
Don't get me started on The Miz.
Oh, God.
Oh, I
not
like The
Miz.
Miz. Come on.
I think he's fucking atrocious.
Yeah, I like The Miz. Are you kidding?
That whole, come on, man.
Every time he comes out,
he has that sway of the head, and he's that stupid look on his face. It just says, kick me.
It works, and you want to kick him.
No, it's
I
like,
do want to kick him, but not for reasons
you know who
of,
made it, you know
oh,
who
he's
made
such
it?
A great heel. He's an asshole.
You know who made him a living off of being an asshole?
Who?
Honky Tonk Man.
It's different.
No,
he's
not.
He's an asshole in real life, too, though.
Thank you very much.
We get into that as well. Fucking Honky Tonk Man.
So
Miz to me has like changed the channel heat.
Fast forward.
You're 100%. Talking bad crew.
I don't even
want to
watch it.
I can't.
And watching it with Kofi yesterday. Every time they put them out there together, it's like
Miz right. Kofi.
Like, that's my new bathroom break. Because I'd rather watch the Divas.
Yeah. Kofi's usually a bathroom. It was usually Kofi, Sheamus, or Miz as a bathroom break.
I feel like Miz being a heel, he's like it's forced.
He doesn't. What
100%.
Is he?
It's
a heel
so
or
like,
face.
No one when he's a heel, know. Like him trying to be like a just a heel is so unnatural. He just comes off like he's just trying too hard.
Yeah, he gets such a better reaction.
Like Shawn Michaels last night during like the slammies, like he had that like douchebaggery.
Was he booed? Was he getting booed a lot when he was?
Michaels?
Yeah, he was. He was getting all right because I didn't
Shawn
get to hear
Michaels,
him.
Dude,
he had that douchebaggery.
Decades.
He was also in Seattle though too.
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, but The Miz has been doing this for like 8 years now.
I don't care, man. I loved when The Miz main evented WrestleMania.
You're not going to hear a bad word about The Miz out of me. I love The Miz.
His fucking catchphrase sucks.
Oh, my God.
Awesome!
Can we change this up?
It's so bad.
He just looks like a creator wrestler before you do anything.
Hey, look, Eddie's on TV.
He really is a better face, though, than a heel, because he, like you said, he 100% tries way too hard when he's a heel.
He's genuinely a nice guy.
But his facial expressions are just, like, so ridiculous from when he's a face and when he's a heel.
No, but when you hear him do press, like, you can't say say a bad thing about him. He comes across like as a nice guy.
That's the same thing about John
Cena. I'm a nice guy. I'm not on WWE Raw.
No, but I think like because he can't get
Chris
past
Payne's
being
a nice guy.
Real nice guy.
What?
He was on Raw last week though.
What?
It was.
Who?
But that's like Cena. About? Like what? You fucking. I hate Cena. But I sit down and watch like the John Cena Experience and seeing the Make a Wish and that he's up at like
that
6 o'clock in the morning.
DVD, bro. If you want it, I have it on the shelf.
I have it. I got it at Kmart for $5.
So did I. Fucking worst $5.
But it's hard to
spent.
Fucking hate on a guy because he works so hard to promote a company that he works for that he loves, and he's genuinely a fucking nice guy.
Miz
and then he
is too. Why do
gets
you hate
in
the
ring.
Miz?
I hate fucking John Cena too.
Why do you hate John Cena?
Because he gives me douche chills.
It's Chris, why? What's your take on that?
Tim Tebow effect.
Oh, the Tim Tebow effect. That's actually pretty.
Everybody hates him for no reason.
Exactly.
That's true.
That's not true.
I think
John
he's a
Cena's
great guy.
Been
I
around
just can't
for
stand the
so
fact
long.
That he doesn't wear tights.
He has. He's been around 10 years.
That's annoying.
That bothers the That's the only thing that bothers me about that guy is that he wears tights, and when he does his promos, it's always a screaming match.
It's like your accent. Ugh.
What, Cena's?
No, Chris's.
This is unbelievable.
Wow, really?
His accent is awful.
The guy drove 75 miles to be
seriously,
here.
All of 6 minutes.
Sat in six
Jesus
hours
Christ.
Of traffic in Staten Island, probably.
Slid on the Look. Ice four times. Fishtailed into a
well,
little kid.
That's because fucking Dicko over here doesn't know how to salt the sidewalk.
I salted. I salted the backyard.
Yeah,
oh,
nice job.
That's good
because
everybody walks in the front, you dick.
Chris Payne's going to have your knees broken.
Look, I'm just getting to him before he gets to me because I know it's coming.
Oh, is that how it goes?
Something like that.
No one's safe.
I'm the nice guy asshole. And that's, it's weird because it's like I could be nice, but then at the same time,
you never know.
Flip the switch and
yeah. He made fun of me for getting an autographed Sergeant Slaughter picture at the last PWS or the couple PWS shows ago.
You did that?
A little bit.
What was I saying?
You were like
I've made fun of so many people over the last few weeks.
No, this was the one. This wasn't the last one. This was the one. Was that the last one that Sergeant Slaughter?
No,
it was two ago. Yeah.
They were really close together.
Because I got one because I work at a bar and I wanted to get it for the bar. I had it signed to the bar. You know, to the hat, coldest beer in town, and that's an order. And he's like,
yes.
That's awesome.
And then he's like, he saw it, you saw it. And he's like, oh, watch out, you don't want to get your Sergeant Slaughter poster dirty. And I was like, this fucking guy.
Oh, this guy over here.
This guy over here.
I can talk Staten Island, too. It's all right.
Oh, take it easy.
Take it easy. So they don't pronounce Y at the end of it.
Take it easy.
Ever. I was told to do the Gettysburg Address.
Yes, to read it.
Do we have the Lenny Poffo book?
Someone has to pull
I
up
do have the Lenny Poffo book.
Oh, let him read poetry from Lenny Poffo.
Yes, that's fucking gold.
After we talk to, what's his nuts, Mike Bennett.
After Matt talks to Mike
After
Bennett.
Matt.
Yeah, because I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to talk to.
You've been doing phenomenally well in Ring of Honor.
You guys will chime in and save me.
Anything else I want to talk to you on
about
Raw? What else happened?
Did you guys talk about Punk Ambrose?
Yes, Punk and Ambrose was a great fucking match, but I kind of missed... What happened with him and the rest of the Shield? Was there like somebody hit somebody by mistake and they walked away from him?
No, he just got tossed out of the ring and he like told them not to help and they just kind of took off.
You think that's so?
Ambrose told Rollins and Reigns not to help?
Yeah,
in the beginning he told them, I got this.
Yeah.
They look pretty damn handsome in suits, those guys.
They look handsome.
Oh my God.
Three handsome.
Not as handsome as the Untouchables, though.
Oh, that's for sure. That's
in suits.
Or Melty Face Bret Hart.
It's half a Hulk face.
Half a Hulk.
Oh, God.
You guys are fucked up.
Did you ever see when they photoshopped him and they made half a Hulk Hogan face?
No, I think that's fantastic, though.
I can't.
Oh, shit.
Bret Hart's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Oh, he's my favorite
wrestler.
He's
my favorite of all time.
I can't.
Matt's got the tattoo.
Tired of getting the fucking auto responses, though, from his website. do our podcast, please.
We have other avenues we can go to try and get Bret Hart on our show.
You can call Carmine.
There you go.
Wow.
So Daniel Bryan Fandango, there was the Ambrose and Punk match. The Usos took on the Wyatts.
No, it was the Usos Wyatts. Oh, was it? What was the eight man?
The
Gold Dust.
Rose Dynasty, Big Show, Mysterio.
Was it worth
another
it?
Another atrocious plunge.
It was bad.
Elaborate on what? Who?
I can't stand Rey Mysterio anymore.
Oh, neither can I.
Who
not
that
at all.
Jumping out the sky? Rey.
Any particular reason why? Just because you had enough?
I'm just like
he's like a parody.
Oh, I'm over it already.
Yeah, it's like he's not what he was.
I had eight surgeries on my left leg.
He's been around for like 18 years.
He's been in WWE for over 10 probably now, right?
Yeah, he's been around for almost 20 years, if not longer. And every time he comes back, it's always something. Yeah. I twisted my toe. Yeah. I'm out for 8 months. And then I come back.
He's back for 2 weeks.
The toe.
Speaking of injured masked wrestlers, Sin Cara has been getting some fucking big wins over ADR lately.
You mean Hunico?
Yeah. Yes, but he looks better. He's
Did you
moving.
Hear how JBL was kind of like offhand burying the real Sin Cara? He's like, wow, Sin Cara looks better than ever. He looks greater than ever. Oh. Kind of like,
isn't that because his contract is up?
No, I think he's still employed. He's still under contract. The real Sin Cara is still there, but they're just not. He's in limbo of what they're going to do. This is what I read on like PW Insider.
Said
that he's
just
still
drop
under.
It.
I got two possibilities for him. One,
drop
they
it.
Dress up Sin Cara like Conan and have him do the whole Orale thing. Or two, they put him in the gobbledygooker outfit.
Or they just leave him at home and pay him until his fucking contract
yeah,
expires.
Yeah, but it's WWE.
I agree with that
they
one.
Should fucking
yeah.
they should put him to use somehow. They should make him sell merch every week on fucking on Raw, but do it in Spanish. Hola, señores y señores, WWE merchandise.
Why doesn't
Come
he just
on,
sit
that'd be
in
awesome.
At the Spanish broadcasting yeah. table?
Do they still have
Why don't
one?
You just have him work at a Taco Bell while you're
yeah,
at it?
Yeah, really, like
oh,
a racist bastard.
Jesus.
If he's looking for work, he can salt your sidewalk.
Only partially.
Yeah. Not
only,
the hill.
Only the
just
yard.
The
he doesn't do hills. No
Not
hills.
The hill.
He won't make it. He'll hurt himself before he gets out front.
Sprain his finger. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah. So Gosh. What's up with why is Sin Cara getting all these wins over? Are they what are they doing?
Because it's a Triple H project. It's a Triple H project.
You bring him in when he calls.
That's cool. That's just sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was trying to talk to Matt off mic. Jesus.
Don't do that because Matt's responding on mic.
Yeah, I'm usually good at turning off the mic.
So it just
doing that
doesn't make sense.
Durr. Oh, Chris, would you like a cookie?
No, I'm okay. Oh. I'm in training.
So you look like he eats.
He's in training.
Cookies.
Oh, I'm staring at somebody who looks like he eats cookies.
Yeah, it's like looking in a mirror.
Actually, day two. Woke up at 4:30 this morning. Oh. I was doing fucking below the. I was doing
below the what?
No.
What was going on here?
I was doing Red Hot Core this morning, dude. Getting back, bro. Getting back. Pants are fitting a little looser this morning.
After 2 days,
I swear to God, dude.
Have you changed your eating habits? Are probably
no, dude. When I worked out Monday morning, same thing.
Well,
and
nothing.
Oh, off mic? What?
No.
Anyway. Yesterday morning, I was fucking hungry all day. The metabolism kicked right back in. It was fucking scary. Anyway, that's enough about me.
But apparently, a lot of other people, we have a lot of other people like
pro
wrestlers.
Damn it!
Yeah, we do have a guest here, and we will get to him. But Raw, the rating went way up from last week. Went from 3,541,000 viewers all the way up to 4,152,000 viewers. So, and there was a at the start, a competitive football game on, too, with the Cowboys and the Bears, but that ended up being a blowout. So.
If anybody knows anything about football, they knew that was a blowout before it started.
Not Bears. Without Jay Cutler starting?
The Cowboys are fucking atrocious.
Yeah, it was bad, dude.
It's not.
Yeah.
Their
terrible.
Defense couldn't stop the five of us.
True. Definitely not me.
Definitely not Chris Payne.
Definitely not.
Not a chance.
Hey, if we could touch on Raw for the last like few minutes of that yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, in my opinion, a couple of those guys look genuinely pissed off. When Hunter was talking, like when they went around and looked at all the other wrestlers
I was
and everything
looking
like
at
that,
their expressions
Ziggler
too.
Looks like he's just totally out of it. Punk couldn't stop
laughing.
Himself from what? Yeah,
he
was like
he was
trying to contain himself.
It's all Triple H's fault.
And Daniel Bryan is just smiling,
yeah,
knowing
just fucking
like
shit eating
grin,
like
dicks.
Oh my god. He's like they're putting Cena and Orton here. Everyone's chanting his name. Mm-hmm. And Washington or not, I think they still would have been chanting for Daniel Bryan.
I don't think he would have had as loud because they were vicious yesterday with
their
yeses
vicious.
And
yes.
cheering and everything like that.
But the boring chants for Orton, like loved it.
Bottom loved line, it. Orton did what he needed to do. He shit on all the fucking legends that were there, saying that this is me and this is who I am and fuck them all. I put him. He fucking shit on Mick Foley. Even shit on Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Which is what he needed to do.
So did God.
Oh, my. That's
only on one side of him.
Boo.
Wow, boo. And then John Cena did exactly what he needed to do. He righted wrongs that he was not involved in. He fucking stood up for CM Punk. He fucking put Daniel Bryan over like crazy.
Didn't he put Ziggler over too?
Yeah.
Well, that's what Cena's been doing, if you've noticed. To get the crowd on his side,
he puts somebody else
he
over.
He puts over the guys
you know,
that the
you
crowd's
know,
already
you know what?
For.
It's smart.
It is very smart.
I would have agreed with that.
Because he boos and then they get cheated, then he gets cheered 2 seconds later afterwards.
Yeah, and the crowd buys
right into it.
I don't know, man. I would have agreed with that more
he
2 years ago.
He did that with
Zack
Ryder when
Yeah,
Zach
that's
Ryder
what I was
going to
say. Yeah, but I think
so
it was
So did CM Punk, too.
Yeah.
CM Punk did that too with Zack Ryder and Daniel Bryan when Daniel Bryan won his first world title. But let me get your take on this, Chris. It pisses me off when you have these guys that are at each other's throats for months, and then John Cena extends his hand to Randy Orton. What is your take on that whole, I mean, I want you at your best, yada, yada, but do you really need to shake the guy's hand?
I was actually a fan of it.
Okay,
yeah,
were you?
I was.
All right, that's fine.
Like, you know, put all the bullshit aside. Let's end this once and for all in this match. Hopefully biggest match in history. And I was talking to my partner at work today. Like, you know, when was the last unification match?
Wasn't it just
12
Jericho?
Years ago?
I was saying Jericho.
Yeah, the Jericho one.
Jericho. So think about it. This really is one of the biggest matches.
It is.
And
with no build.
Right. And in my opinion, Cena is going to win it because he's been the face the last 10 years. So if he doesn't take it when they're doing it again.
Although maybe Orton screws him over.
No, Cena's got to be the one that's
I'm still not convinced, and I'll let you go in 1 second. I'm still not convinced that, I mean, I was less convinced before this Monday night, but now I might be a little bit more more convinced that like they weren't going to do anything, and they weren't going to give us a finish, or they weren't going to actually do it this Sunday.
Yes.
But after this past Monday, I'm a little bit more leaning towards that they actually are going to unify. But before last Monday, I didn't think they were at all.
They
and I still
to,
and part of me doesn't think they will. But after this last Monday, like, it was so big and it was so epic that I think that they might actually do it.
That they were going to kind of flip-flop. Like, Cena was going to walk away one belt and
That's
they're
going
to reach up at the same time and grab each other's belts.
I was feeling the same way, too.
But this night was just so big and it had such a great feeling about it that, like, how can you not do it now after that Monday? And I'm also thinking, and what did anyone get a feeling of a possible, like, probably not,
no, it's
but
not.
Like a double turn? Like, not a double turn, because we know, I don't think Cena will ever go heel, but
I thought,
that last
I'm
shot.
Thinking that. I'm thinking the shock factor is Cena finally goes heel.
Because at the end of the show, you see him standing
it's
with.
It's not going to happen, but that would be like the
so
ultimate.
Fantastic.
Holy shit.
It's, and it would be. I don't see it ever happening, but like I'm just like wondering where. Now I'm actually intrigued now. Where are they going?
If now,
where are they going with this with Cena standing next to Stephanie and Triple
it's
H?
It's a teaser. But if now is the time. If they're going to turn him heel. They got Daniel Bryan that, you know, he appeals to kids. He sells merch.
He's the same size as them.
He's the same. Yes, he's the same size as them. He could do all the Make-A-Wish stuff. Like, maybe they'll do it.
I think the seeds were planted for what we think is going to happen with possibly a DX versus Daniel Bryan CM Punk tag match at WrestleMania.
Ooh.
Or something like that. I think that's what I took away from it. Or at least everyone expects Daniel Bryan Triple H after what happened over the summer. I think they're going to move away from that. And I think HBK now, I never thought this until last night. HBK is going to come out of retirement and fight at WrestleMania. I never thought that till last night. I thought he was done forever.
I don't know.
I think they set up a lot of angles, a lot of different angles for them to set up and be successful in.
Yeah.
But again, will they do that? Probably not.
Not.
They'll do something stupid that nobody wants, and they'll be like, oh, this is the best thing for down the road.
Exactly.
Don't do it for down the road. Do it for now. Do something that the fans actually want for once.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I'm thinking that the authority hires the Shield to come in and do something, and then this is Roman Reigns' big breakthrough as a face turn. They've been hinting at it with all the cutoffs of Ambrose into him.
Yeah.
And Rollins looks like he's almost on the fence of like not wanting to go with Rollins and then go with Ambrose, so... There's so many possibilities.
Do you think that it's going to be Reigns or Ambrose that gets the
Reigns
the big time?
Reno Reigns.
I don't know. I think there's a chance that they keep Reigns and Reigns and Rollins together as a tag team, and Ambrose just goes super heel.
Oh yeah, that could happen.
I would love that.
Because yesterday Rollins didn't. I mean, his reaction was a little bit different than Reigns, but not like he still walked away. He didn't stay and help Ambrose up or anything like that.
That's
he said,
true.
"I got this," and they both started walking up the ramp.
To me, when this group started. It always seemed like Rollins, if any of the three would fall by the wayside, it would be him, and that's unjust like to him. But I always thought Ambrose was the superstar from day one. Reigns has the size and all that stuff, but I thought it was Ambrose from day one.
What are we doing? What is this?
Now joining us on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he will be taking on Kevin Steen this weekend at the Hammerstein Ballroom. The one and only Mr. Mike Bennett. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are
good, thank you.
We are well. There is like we got a full house in here, so don't be thrown off if you hear a couple different voices.
No, that's fine.
It's not the ones in your head, it's the ones in the room.
In my head.
You guys are on the same page.
Of course.
How's everything going?
Everything's great, man. I'm excited for this weekend. I always love the Hammerstein and I love Final Battle. You know, I always like to say it's our
our kind of our WrestleMania we build all year round for this show. And I'm super excited about wrestling Kevin Steen. There's nobody better in wrestling right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, and we're really happy to actually be a part of promoting what's going on with you and Final Battle and Ring of Honor, because, quite frankly, it doesn't seem like Ring of Honor is doing a very good job of it.
Well, you know, it's kind of I've learned all these media techniques and promoting techniques from Maria. She's kind of taken me under her wing, because she did it for 5 years, 6 years, whatever, she was with WWE, and did it a boatload for Celebrity Apprentice, so she kind of has it down pack. So she teached me, and then I was like, well, if Ring of Honor is not going to do it, I sure as hell will try, because I want people to see it.
Ooh, sorry there, Mike. What's it like working with your girlfriend, fiance? Because I work with mine, and it fucking drives me nuts.
You know what? I love it, because I always tell her she's the best traveling partner I've ever had. Because it's fun, man. We get along so well, and it's not like it's so weird, because there's such doom and gloom around wrestling relationships. But with us, it just it never feels that way. It never feels like we are working partners. It just, you know, it just feels like fun. It feels like you're hanging out with your buddy. And because she's always such like one of the guys, because she's been in wrestling for so long, that it's really, I love it. I mean, ask me 10 years from now, I don't know. But right now, I'm having the time of my life.
Do you guys do goofy shit in the car, like play the license plate game?
Oh, we are the worst. We, like, I always tell her, I'm like, you know, people think we're probably, like, two cool people. If they just hung out with us for one day, they'd be like, what a bunch of dorks. They would probably disown us and not want to hang out with us anymore, because we are, we're such nerds, and we, you know, we have such horrible jokes. We sing to each other. Like, if you guys followed us for one day, you'd be like, well, you know, Mike Bennett and Maria, we thought they were cool, but they're just really strange, so screw them.
What's in the CD player during a road trip?
For me, it's always Kid Rock. I have a man crush on Kid Rock. I love his music. I love everything he does. With Maria, it's just a mix. I mean, whether it be country music or rock and roll, I mean, she is diehard everything, so a lot of the times it's show tunes. We love singing show tunes. Again, I told you, we are pathetic.
Wow. Well, yeah. It's been great talking to you tonight, and we wish you the best of luck at Final Battle.
I'll be singing show tunes all the way to Final Battle.
Sing us off. What's yeah. All right. So
your viewership will go down real fast if I start singing.
It's already going down, but that's all thanks to us. Don't worry about that. So you have a pretty storied wrestling career for someone who's only been in the game for about 10 years, especially in
10 years is a lifetime.
I guess so.
It's a long
time. Feels that way.
Brother.
but just recently, in the last 2-3 years on the Ring of Honor scene, I mean, you've had some memorable feuds with pretty much legends. I mean, Steve Corino, Jerry Lynn, Lance Storm. Working with those guys, how did that affect you? Did it make you bring your game up, and did you learn lots of lessons from them going forward?
Yeah, you know, working with all those guys was honestly like the probably the best thing that happened in my wrestling career. It's funny. I started with Ring of Honor, and my initial thought was, okay, I'm going to get to try this new style and wrestle a lot of young guys and up-and-coming talent that I'm not used to wrestling. And it just kind of seemed the opposite. I got thrown in there, like you said, with, Carino, having that be my feud to start off with that company was probably a lifesaver, because he just walked me through everything. He taught me so much. And then from there, it just escalated. Getting the chance to work with Lance Storm was, I think, honestly, at this point, the highlight of my career, because I have so much respect for him, and to be requested that he wanted to work with me was just truly an honor. And then being able to work with Jerry Lynn in this last Ring of Honor match, I mean, he's a Ring of Honor legend, and not only Ring of Honor, but wrestling legend and ECW legend. So you can't not wrestle those guys and not learn. If you don't learn from wrestling those guys, you're doing something wrong, or you should probably quit wrestling because there's something wrong with you. It was just so much fun. It's like being able to hang out and wrestle with your heroes growing up. So I was truly blessed, and I think it truly made me so much better than if I had not been in there with those guys.
Did you grow up a wrestling fan, or were you one of those guys that was kind of like discovered in the gym type of deal?
You know, I was a diehard wrestling fan growing up, and I think that's a common misconception. I think because I have a certain look or because I wrestle a certain way, I have wrestling is 100% and always have been my passion. I love wrestling. I watched it when I was younger, when I was like 5 or 6, and for a couple of years I fell out of love with it, and then I fell back in love maybe around 97. And ever since, like, 1997, I have been absolutely hooked. I wouldn't miss a show. My parents knew when we went on vacation, I would have to be back at the hotel room to watch Monday Night Raw. I would have to get every pay-per-view. And then when SmackDown started, every Smack, I was 100% committed. Ever since I turned 13, I knew I wanted to be a professional wrestler.
Yeah, now you mentioned never wanting to miss a show, never having to miss a show. That's how I was, too, in the 1997-98 time. But now, I don't know if it's because I'm older, just because the product is so much different, you know, with Raw. It seems like I can miss it and not feel bad. I mean, do you have any time in your busy schedule to actually sit down and enjoy Raw? And is it still can't miss for you?
It's not so much can't miss. And like you said, I don't know. I haven't fallen out of love with wrestling, obviously, or I wouldn't be doing it. But it's not so much can't miss. It's just, like you said, I think it's a matter of if I'm around when it's on, I'll watch it. And, I mean, I'm not one of those wrestling guys that's like, well, screw WWE. It sucks. I don't watch it. I just don't make a point to watch it. But if it's on, I'll watch it. I mean, I watched last night, and I thought the ending to that show was absolutely incredible. The fact that Daniel Bryan is so over and they don't push him to the moon boggles my mind, but I think the fans got their point across last night. But I love wrestling, so if it's on, I'll watch it. But, you know, it's hard because I'm also I love watching football, so if football's on, I'll watch football. But
who's your
I don't
team?
Go out of my way to my team are the Patriots.
You're fucking gross.
A boo.
I know. I do think show tunes, and I have a man crush on Tom Brady, so this interview's over now. I understand.
Who eats the cracker?
Don't forget Kid Rock.
Hey, Kid Rock, yeah.
You got a Dolphin fan and a Jet fan in the same room.
And a Giant
fan. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm more sorry for the Jet fan. You're a Jet fan? Dolphin fan.
Well, there's two Jets fan now, so there's double the losers in this room.
Oh, man.
We're still in the hunt, dude.
Yeah. You guys need a quarterback. Good luck. Be okay.
Good luck with that's easy for you to say with Tom Brady. You're spoiled.
I've been spoiled. I'll admit it. I've been spoiled for a long time.
Yeah, two words for you. Eli Manning. There you go. One giant loss.
One word, three syllables. Gronkowski.
Oh, that breaks my heart. He's awesome. And that's just I've recently dislocated my knee, and knee injuries blow. They suck so bad. So it just. You just don't realize how much you need your knee.
You need your legs?
Yeah, right? You don't know how much you need your limbs until you're missing.
Shining Wizards Matt uses his knees often.
thus the orange and teal.
Oh, Mets.
Aboo.
No, that was a Dolphins reference. Because everyone says the Dolphins are gay.
We just got off track. We went to real sports.
Wait, when I think of the Dolphins, I always think of Ace Ventura. So
yes,
yes.
Finkel is Einhorn.
Yeah, I just think of Snowflake. So you guys are Snowflakes.
Look, if it wasn't for Snowflakes, Tom Brady's career would have never taken off. The Tuck game?
Yes.
That's true. This is true. Yes, absolutely.
No, I got it. Thank you, Kevin.
He's my Shapoopy.
The Tom Brady Family Guy episode.
That was a Family Guy reference. Yeah. Yes, thank you, Kevin.
I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, yeah, you gotta
I missed
see
that
it.
One too.
Yeah.
Well, right,
if you're into
show
tunes and Tom Brady, you definitely need to find one.
Peter Griffin gets a tryout with the Patriots and actually plays for the Patriots. Tom Brady makes a cameo on that.
That's awesome.
Amazing. I'm sure if I YouTube it, I can find it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And the shower scene is worth it all by itself.
It sounds all good already.
All right, should we get back to wrestling? I guess?
Yeah, we should probably get back to. Wrestling and Ring of Honor stuff?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
So I guess on the same lines of the knee injury, unfortunately, you were pitted against BJ Whitmer during the world title run, and you performed the pile driver on the outside of the ring, and it legitimately hurt BJ Whitmer. What's that like for a performer like you, who probably holds himself in high esteem,
and protecting the guy you're working with. What's that do to your psyche going forward?
You know, it was like we just talked about Lance Storm being the best moment in wrestling in my career. That was legitimately probably the absolute worst. You go in there and your main goal is to protect your opponent 100%. And, you know, I pride myself on having never hurt somebody and being super safe in the ring, and to know that an accident happened, and, you know, it just, it crushed me for a while. I was miserable. And, you know, you can talk to a lot of the guys at Ring of Honor. I go above and beyond to be the nice guy in the locker room and to you know, take care of my friends and my opponents. And yeah, it crushed me for a while. It hurt. You go out there and you have no more confidence in yourself. And BJ is someone that I care for very much and hold near and dear to my heart. So the fact that, you know, I did it to him and I respect him so much, but he was great about it. I owe him the world for how he handled it, because it was hard. You know, it's not only you beat yourself up, but people are just so critical nowadays and so rude and disrespectful that it's just that much worse. And now everyone's got a platform with social media, so it's just that much worse. But, you know, to know that I had the whole locker room had my back, PJ had my back, you know, it's just one of those freak things that I pray will, you know, never happen again.
Yeah, so this didn't really affect the relationship between you guys. There's no hard
feelings. No, absolutely. If anything, it brought us closer. I had a good relationship with him before, but, you know, after it happened, I literally spent the whole night with him in the hospital because I just couldn't wrap my brain around what happened. We were in Canada, you know, and it just, I still talk to him and check up on him and see how he's doing. But he was great. He made it. I mean, the whole time we drove together in the ambulance, and he just kept looking at me and saying, "This isn't your fault. Accidents happen. We know the risks we take." Like, he just, I as long as I'm wrestling and for the rest of my life, I owe him the world, because he made it that much easier for me to deal with it.
And Mike, keeping on this subject for a second, this is just something that I've always wondered as a fan, I guess. And now that we're doing like the podcast, it just piqued my interest a little bit. Is there ever in the back when something does go wrong, is there ever a blame game played, or is it just kind of what you said, that it's the risk that we take, we know it? Or do people ever actually blame either the person doing the move, the person taking the move, stuff like that? Is there ever anything like that goes on that you've experienced? And you don't have to get specific or anything. I'm just curious. This is just my own knowledge that I
You know, it honestly, it depends on the person. It depends on who it is and how they are as a human being. I mean, I'm sure you deal with people every day in your real life, and, you know, some people handle situations really well, and other people, you know, there are just people in life that always play the blame game. I've been fortunate enough that I've been in the ring with a lot of guys that, you know, you just know the risks. Wrestling's a very tight-knit community, you know, because we do put our bodies on the line so much that you have to understand that what we're doing, it's not ballet, and we beat the crap out of each other. So, you know, you'll realize that the people that play the blame game and will come to the back and say, "Hey, you did this, you're an ass," or "You did that, you suck." Those are the people that really don't get the wrestling business. But the guys that understand it, I mean, I've been hurt a bunch of times, and I've never once, unless the guy blatantly went out of his way to hurt me, I've never once went back and said, "Hey, you're a dick, you did this, you did that." It's really about the type of person and wrestler they are. It's that, you know, you always know when someone gets the wrestling business because of how they handle and carry themselves. And if I can just go back, BJ is, you know, he epitomizes what's great about pro wrestling, and the fact that not just in front of the fans and in front of the camera, but the boys in the back, we all have the most utmost respect for that guy.
Well, it's good to know that he's doing well and that things are working out for the two of you guys. Leading up to this Saturday, Manhattan Hammerstein Ballroom final battle. Yep. You, Kevin Steen, stretcher match, loser loses the pile driver. Give us a little backstory on how this came about. Why the pile driver? I know you use it as a finisher. I know he is the package pile driver. What's going through your mind here heading into this? I mean, you lose the pile driver.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do with yourself?
I mean, I already don't have a lot of moves as it is, so I could
body slams. Just body slams.
But, yeah, you know, it kind of started where I had just defeated Bob Evans in Cheeseburger, and I was getting ready to give Cheeseburger my pile driver. And apparently Steen took offense to the fact that I've been calling my pile driver the greatest. And he had to come out, and, you know, Kevin likes to poke and prod and get under people's skin. That's his thing. That's what he does. He's clever at it. He's good at it. But this time he hasn't quite gotten under me and Maria's skin, because Maria is a devilish type woman, and she has gotten to him way more than he's gotten to us. So it's kind of one of those things where it's built up, and the only way to really settle it is to have some sort of a blow-off violent match. And I guess Ring of Honor decided that a stretcher match was the way to go, which I'm actually excited about, because I haven't seen a lot of really good stretcher matches, so I kind of like to turn that around and show people that stretcher matches are supposed to be more than gimmicky and goofy. They're actually brutal, violent matches, and I think that's what me and Kevin are going to do. I don't plan on losing, so I don't really have a plan if I can't use the pile driver. I guess I'll have to watch more WWE video games and pick up some good moves.
Trouble in Paradise. You should
okay.
You should definitely
maybe
go with Trouble in Paradise.
Code Red or whatever they call it. What's the flipping pile driver? I guess I can't use it because I can't use a pile driver. So maybe I'll just do a sleeper hold.
There you go.
I think it's been a long time since we've had the Outback Jack Boomerang clothesline in a wrestling ring.
that might work because Maria was on a reality show called Outback Jack. So we could fit that in.
Wait, we have to talk about that. Wait.
Reality show, right? This is a reality show. Okay.
Named after the wrestler Outback Jack?
No. I wish it was. It was,
obviously
it was a goofy reality show on Fox that they dropped like 20 girls into Australia. And had to win the affection of one hunky man who was named Jack, and he was from the Outback. So put the two together and... The ratings genius.
The Honky Tonk Man?
It would have been better if it was Paul Hogan.
Now that's a
if
knife.
If it was Paul Hogan, I would have every episode on DVD.
I'm thinking they should have put him in an Outback restaurant and have them all like cook shrimp on the Barbie.
Hell, the Bloomin' Onion. That's the only way to go.
Right.
Right. I want to rewind a little bit. We were talking about how the locker room receives you and how you're well-liked. Davey Richards, everything that's going on with him and his departure from Ring of Honor, how did that affect you? And from your surroundings and from what you see in the locker room, how did that affect everyone else, actually coming from someone that's been there?
Well, you know, it's tough for me in the last month, personally speak on Davey, because in all honesty, at the beginning of November, I blew my knee out. So I literally have not been in the Ring of Honor locker room for a little over a month. I can speak personally on how I feel about Davey. He's always been super great to me. We always have a joke that says Davey, you know, Davey's just being Davey, kind of like Manny Ramirez was Manny being Danny. Davey's just his own person, and you either
fucking Boston, dude.
I know, man. I'm gonna keep dropping these all night. So, he's just who he is, and you either accept it or you don't. I can't speak from how the management Ring of Honor handles it. I know he's very well liked with a lot of the boys because he works his ass off. He's a hell of a talent. He's brought out amazing matches with me that I've wrestled him, and I personally think very highly of him because he's never personally done anything wrong with me. I think it sucks that he's not going to get a farewell match in Ring of Honor, but I also stand behind what Ring of Honor does because they do, despite what people say and despite the negative feedback that they get a lot of the times, they are out to put on the very best show that they can possibly see. So the fact that they can't give Davey Richards a farewell match kind of speaks for itself. But I think the world of Davey. I think he's going to do great in WWE, and I think he's an amazing talent.
Good answer. Thanks, jerk.
That was very political, right?
Bunch of Did fucking I comedians I have in a room with me.
Just one.
Oh, very funny, Kevin.
Abu.
Well, Mr. Bennett, it has been a pleasure. For those of you out there listening to this, please check out Ring of Honor Saturday night, Hammerstein Ballroom, 7:30 bell time.
Michael Bennett against Kevin Steen stretcher match. Loser.
Jesus.
Wow. I'm not going anywhere. Loser is not going anywhere.
You are the worst at English ever, man.
Losers don't go anywhere. They just lose their move.
Loser leaves the pile. Oh, my God.
I got this. Guys, Mike Bennett, Kevin Steen, this Saturday, Hammerstein Ballroom. Loser loses the pile driver. Mike, thank you very much for joining us. Matt, anything else you want to throw in there for him?
Follow Mike Bennett on the Twitter, at yes. Real Mike Bennett. Do you want your Facebook given out?
I don't care. They can follow me on Facebook. It's just look up Mike Bennett. I don't know how to do this. I mean,
you guys,
it's my personal one, but
he's probably the only Mike Bennett.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
You guys and your accents are killing me.
You love it.
I got Boston on the phone. I got Staten Island next to me. This is rough.
Let's get a live liner from Mr. Bennett.
Well, I was gonna wrap it up and then get do one off the air.
You know what? Let's do it now. Fuck it. Why not?
I'll do whatever. What do you guys need?
We're gonna peel down the fourth wall. All you gotta do is Mike Bennett, Shining Wizards, and whatever else you want to say.
All right. You just start whenever?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, this is Michael Bennett, and you're listening to Shining Wizard Podcast. Check them out. They love Ace Ventura, and they're diehard Patriots fans.
That was awesome.
Mike Bennett, ladies and gentlemen. Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
tonight,
a lot, bud.
Man.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Keep your hammer hanging low, buddy.
Take care. I'm not even going to get into what that means.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye, guys.
Later.
Dude, he was a lot of fun.
Hell yeah.
And he gave us a great liner.
when you don't have the pile driver anymore, what are you going to do?
I couldn't contain myself.
What are you going to do without the pile driver?
And to his credit, he's like, I don't know.
I know.
But Matt seems so upset and hurt.
It really did break your heart, didn't it?
It really broke his heart.
I don't know what he's going to do.
What are you going to do without the pile driver? What are you going to do?
Let's cover some news, and then we can talk to our buddy here.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
Well, wait a minute. Did we finish talking about Raw?
Yeah, we
talked enough about Raw.
You don't want to go through the whole final thing and why it made no sense that Triple H gave the fucking pedigree to Randy Orton?
Because he knocked down his wife.
But did he really knock her down?
Daniel Bryan.
But all Triple H might have seen is just Orton fucking, because he was getting his ass kicked by Punk.
And Shawn Michaels did the same thing with the match against Randy Orton. When he saw that fucking Bryan put down Triple H, he turned around and he super kicked Daniel Bryan.
All I know is Triple H came out on top again for no reason.
Here's the other thing. Triple H,
the winner of the segment,
really overly aggressively pushed CM Punk down. Which came out of nowhere.
Well, I think you were upstairs. We actually did talk about how the only parts of that segment that got like the most reaction were the Daniel Bryan and the CM Punk, and how they might be teasing what I think is a heel DX versus Daniel Bryan and CM
Chris
Punk.
Chris mentioned this earlier. This is like classic WWE building your hopes up to something that's not going to pay off. I do not think Shawn Michaels is coming out of retirement.
I didn't think so till last night.
Yeah. It's not happening.
But whatever you think of for a scenario that sounds great and awesome and like they'll never do it, they're never going to do it.
But then what was the point?
I got one.
Because they love to build you up just to fucking take the air out from underneath you.
I got one.
Yeah, because we don't know what we want to see. They know what we want to see.
They know what's good for business.
Who? Yeah. That's like real talk.
Who was in the ring at the end of the show?
Not me.
Not Chris Payne, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
3 weeks ago, it could have been me, but it wasn't.
Who was in the ring? Do you remember, Matt?
We should have done it.
Yeah, it was Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, John Cena, and Kane.
John Cena was in the ring.
We talked about that a little bit.
John Cena may be getting that heel turn, joining the corporation.
Where were you?
He was upstairs.
Where the hell were you?
I was molesting my kid.
How long were we on the phone with Michael?
Jesus
Christ. 15 minutes.
That's atrocious. 17 minutes ago, we covered this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It could have been the shock of the century.
You're being replaced by Chris Payne, Tony.
Yeah.
I am? Matt can't speak, and I can't.
Yeah, but I never fucking interrupted Raven with a question he just asked and then had him go, oh, gotta walk the dog and cut the interview short.
Well, I didn't show despair that Michael Bennett wasn't gonna have any moves left in his repertoire.
Yo, that was
the pile driver.
What are you gonna do?
Let's talk about something that hasn't been talked about, and I guess nobody cares, is what the fuck is Kane doing? Has he wrestled a match since he became a...
He's corporate.
He's corporate Kane.
But isn't he really going corporate? Isn't he going political?
Yeah, that's like real life Kane.
That's real life
he
Kane.
He's doing a lot of stuff. Yeah. I know he attends
right,
a lot of
fundraisers.
That's
why he cut the hair again.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why he actually has a little bit of hair
he
now.
He actually cut yeah. the hair so he could fit into his Christmas creature costume.
You guys really talked about that. I feel like such an asshole.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's not a big deal. Seriously, though, Kane, we cut it off when Mike came
right,
in,
so,
I think.
So bring it back up and let him feel good.
Hey, you know what I think is going to happen?
This is fan. I love this.
This is great.
What's going to happen?
Kane is going to retire, and he's going to become a fucking governor in, like, Minnesota.
I could honestly
Yo,
see that.
Really intelligent.
We already did Minnesota.
He is.
Yeah, we did.
We've already had a wrestler established there.
Yeah.
He'll be the governor of hell.
It's a conspiracy.
Or parts unknown.
Because that's where he's from.
That's a good one. Thank Warrior you. Wasn't the mayor there. He was just from there.
Yeah.
Warrior.
Or the governor, excuse me.
Warrior.
The Warrior's from... The Warriors from Boston.
All right, so what's the consensus?
Go Sox.
Do we
He's
think,
about to cut a promo.
Do we think we're seeing a John Cena heel turn? Tony?
Yeah, I think it's coming.
That's
Eddie?
No.
Yes.
Chris says yes. Ooh. I'm going to say no.
I thought you were going to say maybe.
No.
Shock there. Somebody said no, that Cena's going heel.
I'd say if they were going to do it, now is the time because they have Daniel Bryan to fall back on to be the face.
Bryan's time is up. His time is now.
Attaboy.
Oh my god.
That just happened.
Wow, that just happened.
I'm not cliche.
When do you want to give away our Survivor Series prize pack? Should we wait a little while?
Do that
end of the night.
End.
This is why you miss segments because you're all over the place.
Yeah, just
I'm asking
stay
Matt
in your
a question.
Seat.
Thank you, Mr. Payne.
Jesus.
Format.
Christmas.
Is very important.
Yeah, we're trying here.
Yeah,
this guy's got a
like...
game plan. It's like an itinerary for a fucking vacation.
Tony's just like shit.
Stick
out.
To the itinerary.
Oh, don't look. This is...
Where's the contest?
This is all the notes I got for Chris Payne.
I mean, I'm in your presence, and you're like blowing ass gas in my face.
Oh, well,
me?
Well, if you listened to the podcast before, you'd know what you were into.
In four.
Listen, I'm married.
Good one.
I have a career. I don't have time to do anything.
You used to...
If I look the wrong way, I'm getting yelled at.
If I may, you
marriage.
Used, you served our country too, correct?
I most certainly did.
Thank you very much. It's
You're
greatly
welcome.
Appreciated.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
What?
Thank you.
What? Marine, Navy.
Navy.
Attaboy.
In
you,
the
sir.
Navy.
Yeah. Go ahead. Get it out. I was a seaman.
No. Nothing.
I wasn't going to go.
Oh,
with semen,
I mean, if you want to go there,
we can.
Tony
go with
loves
too.
The dick. So
I love semen.
Tony loves semen. Nah, come
Just
on.
Just for the record, he loves the cock.
Just for those of you out there that did not know. So, how long were you active?
4 years.
4 years. Well, where'd you go? Where were you
I was
stationed?
In, what the hell was I? I went to Chicago, then Texas, then I was in Cuba for close to 2 years.
Wow.
And
there's a Navy in
Jersey.
Chicago?
This guy's retarded.
Idiot.
God. Cuba?
Yes.
Wow. That's awesome. That's like off limits.
It
so
really is.
What were you,
I'm interested to hear about fucking Cuba.
Like, what were you doing?
I was military police.
Military police?
Yeah.
Smoking
so
Cuban
I did
cigars.
Like everything you saw in A Few Good Men. Pretty much like that.
Wow. What's Cuba like?
Hot.
Is it
dry.
Hot? How are the ladies?
I think it rained twice. Literally, it rained twice in a year and a half.
Hot women?
Jesus Christ.
Not even soda.
Really?
Yeah.
They all move here.
I had the Cuba part that was all American land, U.S. leased land.
Yeah.
So anything that was Cuban was not even close to us.
Really?
Yeah. Just wow. Across our border and our fence line, there was 5-star restaurants, hotels, casinos.
Holy
we
shit.
We weren't allowed to go anywhere.
I was about
near
to ask
that.
You if you were allowed to go.
Not even close.
Oh my God. That's
like the closest we can
torture.
Get was the fence line. And then there was another fence line for security that we weren't allowed to go to if you were just regular.
Did Cuban women like put their titties through the fence for you or no?
It's a fence, dude. It'll fucking cut their titties up.
Not really.
No.
What kind of fence? Are we talking about a picket fence? What kind of fence are we talking about?
Yeah. Why would there be a picket
as
fence
a picket
in Cuba?
Fence. A white picket fence.
I heard it's very nice certain times a year.
Who did you hear this from? Fidel?
I heard they got ranch houses and dogs running around.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get past the keep off the grass sign to touch their picket fences.
All right. Yeah. Well, you tell me what girls yelling. Are putting their titties through chain link fence, and I'll fucking...
You're from West Orange. I'm sure you know a couple.
That's true. All right. Fair enough.
Fidel yes. Castro's in a tower yelling, get off my lawn.
So, are we going to cover news and get to Mr. Payne? Or are we going to just get to Mr. Payne
let's
right
do the
now?
News.
What's,
and then,
what's news?
Yeah, we'll talk
outside
about
of WWE doing Mania in San Francisco.
AJ Styles,
AJ,
TNA.
Yeah, we need to talk about AJ.
That's like a spoiler, but we can get into that.
All right.
A spoiler?
It's been reported. They we're not quit? Spoiling that.
No.
Magnus wins the tournament.
Oh, we didn't have to do
that. We didn't
that.
Have to do that,
oh.
You dicko.
Wow.
I did not
this
know that.
This guy.
Abu.
Wow.
Spoiler alert.
Go walk up the Unsalted Hill.
Everyone knew that there was a tournament for the championship going on. They didn't realize
okay,
that.
Okay, well, what did
AJ...
you want? AJ's still the champion.
I don't feel like a dick anymore.
No, no, trust me, he's still there.
His see, here's the thing. I read the spoilers. Him,
I'm sure everyone read the spoilers.
Yeah, they've only been out for a week.
Him not yeah. being in TNA, this is what happens. Fucking, if you don't want to hear the spoilers.
But he was written off the program a long
if
right,
you don't
want
to hear the spoilers, go back and not listen to it.
Yeah, if you don't want to hear the spoilers, go fuck your face, okay? What?
What?
Like the January 6th show, AJ comes back, him against Magnus to unify the titles. Magnus
titles.
Wins.
Oh, that happens?
That what happens. And AJ gives
there's
his
titles?
Big...
Because AJ was a champion,
AJ
but then Dixie
champion.
Stripped him and like sent him on the road or whatever
and then
or overseas
it,
and
to Cuba
a tournament for it.
And then after the match, AJ gives his Hasta La Vista speech, and that's where all that...
Right, Jeff Hardy did the same shit.
That shit
yeah,
came
yeah,
out.
Jeff
yeah,
Hardy
Jeff Hardy. But apparently
but
he's not gone,
yeah,
though.
He signed through 2015, I think.
Yeah, according yeah. to PW Insider, he's not leaving.
Legit news sources here, folks.
Well, you gotta source your... You got to source it.
Dave Meltzer from God's Mouth.
Hardy is not leaving the company. He's written off to explain his actions.
Dave Meltzer looks
Impact
like a Muppet.
Episodes that will be taped overseas in 2000. Oh, because he has work visa issues. He can't go. Oh, sorry. He can't go overseas because
right,
he's
of his drug problems,
he's a criminal.
Right?
Yes. 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 Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right.
Oh.
That old gag.
Why does Jeff Hardy always quit before they go overseas? I don't understand.
Hey, Jeff, when you coming over here?
When my probation's up.
About that. Yeah. Got to be clean for a certain amount of time.
I completely forgot about his shit with that.
Big news. Ultimate Warrior DVD set is in the works for WWE.
Really?
And it's due to be released around WrestleMania.
Hall of Fame.
Got to be. Got to be. 100%.
Gotta be.
Hey, let's go around the room. Who would you guys want to see for the Hall of Fame this year?
Ultimate Warrior.
What about Macho Man if Warrior goes in?
Macho Man, 100%.
Yes.
I'm a Macho guy.
I'm a huge
you
Macho
are
guy,
a macho
but
guy, Chris Payne.
Macho
part
guy.
Of me has reservations of putting people in the year after. Actually, no, that was 2 years ago, right? He died?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was two
yes.
years ago.
It was 2 years ago. All right,
who?
So then, yeah. Savage.
Macho
oh, yeah, yeah.
Part of me has reservations putting somebody in immediately after they die, but I agree. If anyone deserves to be in regardless...
Do you
he'd,
think
he'd be in.
Do you think that they even care about his wishes from Lanny Poffo?
No.
No. If you listen to the interview last week
did.
With yeah. Lanny Poffo on our show.
Oh,
didn't you guys
him.
Post something on your page?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I read the whole thing. I'm caught up.
All right, listen, you have to listen, Chris.
No, it's the same shit.
I listen to myself talk. Go ahead.
That's a great show. I've heard that show.
It's awesome.
It's an incredible show.
Oh, good.
When I've got some critics out there, but it's
I hear that show like once show. A month on a Saturday.
It's not bad.
Savage, Jake Roberts.
Jake Roberts.
Yeah, give
Jake
it time.
Warrior. You think it's over for Jake with the Royal Rumble?
I don't.
I don't
think
they know
yet. With him competing in the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, why not? They let Drew Carey in the Royal Rumble, for God's sakes. They can't throw Jake in there for like a good minute, give somebody a DDT, and then somebody clotheslines him out.
No, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he does it. It depends on if he just keeps his nose clean still for what he's been doing. I mean, he's been fine. He's been perfect. But he keeps it clean, then WWE always will have reservations about bringing somebody like that back. Mm. But I think that it's not impossible.
Anybody else you guys think for the Hall of Fame?
They'll do something dopey. Like,
are we predicting, or are we...
No, just like
just
thoughts.
Who like
who would you, yeah, who would you want
to
see?
I think Rick Martel deserves a shot in the Hall of Fame.
Ooh, the model. You know what? If Coco Beware's in there, why not Rick Martel? Former AWA World Champion.
He didn't have a parrot.
That's true.
That is true.
And he's not black.
I was going to say that. Thank you for beating me to it.
Wow.
There's got to be some WCW name.
Mortis.
Like from back
Vader, I can see going in.
It's Mortis,
Renegade.
but it's
oh, God.
Renegade. 100%.
It's Mortis, but it's Danny Inferno dressed as Mortis.
Oh, if they put in Renegade, everybody after the Hall of Fame, they buy a placard with a piece of his brain.
Wow.
Damn. Bullet shards.
Nice.
Bullet shards.
Wow.
But then Joe Gomez goes in next year, though.
Yes.
Just saying. If Renegade goes in, Joe Gomez deserves it.
What about Barry Horowitz? You think there's ever a spot for him?
I think there is. Lombardi is going to go in before he does.
Oh, of course he is.
But I think Barry Horowitz.
Lombardi's had so many things going into him over the years. Oh, boo.
That's gay.
Yes, it is.
That's all right. Gay.
I News. Thought we talked about moves on this show. Pile drivers.
Pile drivers.
But
what's
what
he going to do?
Obviously, now he's trying to make fun of himself, so he can't it. So he can't
he's
get at him anymore.
The
yeah. I'm not trying to deflect anything. That
Listen,
was
I still laughed at
he's
it.
Like,
it
yeah,
genuine
guys, I suck,
response.
Right?
It was fantastic.
I thought it was good.
Is there any other news? Any other tidbits? The Lanny Poffo interview got crazy fucking coverage, by the way.
Yeah, I can't believe he's that old.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be 60 almost. Yeah. Right? 59 he's turning? Wow.
Macho was good. How old is he going to be? 64?
60-something, yeah. He was. I think he's like 2 or 3 years older than Hogan. So, like
so then he
would have
been
64
or 65.
Like
I do think it was a little
no,
creepy,
I'm sorry,
though.
63.
Probably something like that. We can look it up.
Hogan's fucking turning 60, so he's got to be like 62.
Yeah. Oh, again. Alberto Del Rio diagnosed with a concussion.
Oh, here we go.
Who cares?
That happened yesterday.
You
want
news?
Guess
what?
Everybody
that watched that match has a concussion too.
I'm just saying. You want
news?
I'll
miss
yeah,
him as
much.
All the face first plants. I'm like, holy shit, not this again.
Yeah.
Did you find it
well
creepy?
Said.
Did you find it creepy that Lanny said like one of his biggest achievements is going to be surpassing his brother in age?
Yeah.
Oof. He's like, I'm going to do something he never did. I'm going to turn 59. I was like, what the fuck?
He also said he was proud that he was the only guy to the only wrestler to die from a non-drug related.
Oh yeah, toxicology report clean.
Yeah, but
congenial.
I think that was more of a
congenital
statement
heart
on
failure,
this,
yeah,
or heart
V-fib,
disorder.
Yeah, V-fib or something like that.
Yeah, he had painkillers in his system and a small amount of alcohol.
What?
Yeah, but he had a prescription for the painkillers.
Their
so,
opponents are a different
matter. I don't remember what.
No, somebody spoke about it.
What
one
kind
of the comments.
Dog
I think it was on 41 Mania.
Jesus, I'm playing ads on WrestleZone. Where the fuck?
This is brought to you by TLC.
All right, so is that it for news? We can, before we go into Chris Payne, we can cover some PWS news.
Kevin's checking his app.
I'll give you some news. They were playing some Hogan Rollers yesterday in the commercial breaks at Raw.
Hogan Rollers?
Yeah, some video clips, highlights.
Yeah, weren't they showing an entire like history of champions?
It's probably for the
but
WWE.
It was a lot of
that was the 50. That was the WWE 50.
That's
anniversary,
then,
but
and
they said that during the breaks at Monday Night Raw, they showed Hogan specific Hogan highlight reels, like leading up to him being for 30.
Really?
They think it's going to be for him coming at 30.
He's got to be. That's something.
Yeah, but didn't they say they wanted him to work with Jack Swagger?
I don't know.
They wanted him to work with Muhammad Hassan. Oh.
Do they like put names in a hat? And like, hey, go with him.
Hey, Jack Swagger.
I'll tell you what, I don't want to see it because I just watched the Mid-South DVD and they did that angle where Muhammad Ali was involved in the Jake Roberts match. So bad.
He was also involved with Gorilla Monsoon. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, but when he was involved with Gorilla Monsoon, at least he wasn't shaking like a fucking paint can at Home Depot in the paint shaker.
Wow, that's some picture
shaking
you
like
grew
a
up there.
In the paint shaker.
It was bad, dude. Like
Michael
watching
J.
him,
shit.
Watching him try and just get up onto the ring apron to punch Jake Roberts. It was rough.
I'm talking about
Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
and that was in the early 80s.
Cassius Clay.
And I mean, Muhammad. We saw Hogan and Sting like 2 years ago.
Muhammad
Ali.
Like, is he going to do like a legit fucking leg drop? Is he going to be taking bumps?
If it's WrestleMania, he'll do whatever he can do.
I don't know if he's...
What can
he do, though?
Dude, he didn't do the leg drop like when he did the whole Hassan thing. He hasn't done the leg drop in years.
Can we change topics for 1 second?
Yes.
As in regards to the leg drop, how would you feel to old school moves coming back to being finishers?
I'd be all for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm just so sick of like the 15 falsies after atomic powerbomb.
Oh, we talk about that all the time.
Buckle.
Oh,
yeah.
I hate that shit.
Off the third row kid.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Kick out.
Like,
if I
just did a boot and gave a leg drop.
And that was it.
And that was it.
That would be awesome.
I wouldn't mind, like, an atomic drop being a finisher.
Bob Backlund used to use it.
How about a finisher that affects the shoulders that are integral in kicking out of a pin?
You wouldn't be talking about the pile driver.
Like a full Nelson?
Anything. I was just saying finishers in general. I wasn't going to go through them all.
My finisher's a Nelson bomb.
Yeah. In fact, the Nelson bomb. Who did that the other day as a finisher?
Fucking... Sandow.
Yeah, Sandow did that as
a
finisher.
Patriot used to do it. Uncle Slam.
Well, yeah. I swear to God, everything that we're doing in PWS, I've seen on Raw.
Who's the rat?
I have no idea.
There's someone.
Is it Search?
Listen, I'm going to give you an example. Black Hollywood, he does the basketball dribbling in the corner when he goes to do his move.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Brodus Clay does it.
Interesting.
He's not even black.
JBL hasn't worn the towel inside his jacket
since he wrestled, which is how long ago?
Years. Long time, almost yeah. a decade.
Okay. Now all of a sudden I do it and I'm going to put myself over. I do it. Now they're fucking wearing the Don't Tread on Me flags inside their zipper hoodies.
Oh, the Un-Americans, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
True. They used to have it like as a cape and now they're putting it over their thing.
I got to be honest. I'm a little offended that they throw those flags.
You should be, too.
It's a Navy flag. Yeah. That flag is flown on, it's sailed on the front of the bow of the boat.
Right.
They're throwing them in the ring, then they get inside, pick them up, and then throw them out of the ring. It's just like, why don't you just walk around the ring and hand it to the fucking guy standing there?
Seriously. And this is coming from a company that supports the armed forces so heavily. And
I didn't even know. I didn't realize those were Navy flags.
Yes. It says, don't tread on me with a snake.
Didn't they get in trouble a while ago? Didn't they
offend? Jericho, overseas. I think Jericho kicked around a flag. I forget what country it was. It could have been like Iraq, for all I know.
No, it was.
No, he would have been fucking stoned to death. If it was
Iraq. He was arrested, and then they let him go. He kicked the flag.
Was
of
it
the
Germany?
That was JBL.
That was JBL goose stepping around the ring.
God, it's on the tip of my tongue. I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember.
Where it was. What fucking country?
We have like 8 laptops here.
Oh, it was Brazil. Was it Brazil?
Yes, it was Brazil. Yes.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Speaking of PWS and news.
Pewis.
Honky Tonk Man pulled out of his.
I would hope so.
Don't even do it.
You wouldn't want that running
we're
around.
We're better than that.
No, we're not.
All right, you're right. That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Yeah, and I
And
Eric
as always,
Pleska, God bless his soul, was nice enough to put the texts up on Facebook.
I love when he does shit like that. Him
all
and Pat.
The time.
Now,
I love that. This is one thing that PWS does that I love. When someone pulls out of an appearance or cancels, they up it and make it better.
Really?
It pulls out and
two
ups
times.
It.
Come on.
I gotta go there.
No, not you. Him.
Me.
Oh, he's
what?
A mess.
We got Giggles the second time it happened. It's like we're living a joke.
Fuck yeah!
Your new name is Giggles. Giggles the Wizard. But seriously, PWS, they up it, you know? Yeah. Now we have fucking Colt Cabana
against Chris Hero.
Like, holy shit. That's fucking awesome.
You're going to be on your own that day. I'm watching that match from start to finish.
I need a monitor back there.
I catch it. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Chris, do you know how hard it is to do that back there, not seeing what's going on? Like, I haven't seen a full show since I've been doing it.
Wait, you hear that?
We've been lucky enough to have a monitor backstage.
That's the smallest violin playing.
That's a soap. We're on our soapbox now because me and Eddie are back there, and we have to look through the plexiglass hockey boards to see when the finish happens. And we have Missy's,
I give you guys tons of credit.
And we have Missy Sampson there, thank God Missy's there to help us out.
Yeah, because
but we have a blast, and it's fucking fantastic.
But I give you guys tons of credit because you guys are like diehard wrestling fans.
You know,
you come to watch our shows, and you're back there doing what you're doing. And
trust me,
it's greatly appreciated because I don't know too many other independent shows out there that are putting stages up and Titantrons Syndicatrons, right?
Syndicatrons. Is that what they're called?
I think it's called Syndicatrons.
I like
that.
That's
terrible.
No, I like that.
Well, thank God we don't care what you think.
Yeah. Giggles.
Giggles. Wizard.
You guys could always get the sign girls to help you out with the production stuff. They would love to help you guys out.
So like I was saying, the sleeper hold
was a great
throwback finisher.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake used
100%.
It.
Yeah.
Anyway, PWS.
PWS.
Go back.
Chris Payne. Like you were saying, you were asking about the backstage not being able to see the shows. We've been very fortunate with Valenti Vision to have monitors back there so we can all watch.
Yeah, you guys are very lucky in your backstage area. You have a nice fucking HD monitor. You can see everything that's going on.
Dude, it's
on.
Such a sick vibe back there, man. It's so sick back there. It's such a good vibe. And I remember back at the Super Show last year, when it was just like all the boys huddled around the TV just watching it, and it's just an environment that you don't seem to get anywhere else but PWS, and that's why they're fucking great.
Now, it seems like everyone's pretty much like on the same page with PWS.
Yeah,
like
everyone's just
a team.
100%. Everyone's worried about putting together a good product and making sure we're about PWS. No one's bigger than it.
Right, right.
Everyone is for making that company better and better every time and putting something out there that people like and enjoy. And Pat Buck and Eric Pleska and all the boys do a great job of putting stuff together.
Yeah, and one thing that I really love is very character driven, where you can like invest like your emotion into these characters, like the Untouchables, fucking awesome. It's like
talk about the Untouchables.
Yeah, we'll let you describe what the Untouchables actually are.
In what aspect, like
what the gimmick is.
What we're going for.
What you're going for. Yeah.
Everything. How it came about, what you guys plan on doing with it. Like, just go through the run of the mill about the Untouchables, because I think it's fantastic, to be honest with you.
Well, basically, you know that PWS has a school now.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll talk about that.
A lot of guys that have been in this school are now a year or more into it. Obviously, there's new faces always coming in and out. It's basically the four of us coming out and, you know, being the toughest, baddest, best wrestler, trying to be the best wrestlers, making a name for ourselves, making statements, just wrestling whoever, taking people out, and trying to go for, like, in our own original way, we're trying to find ourselves as far as being, like, you know, with the suits, kind of like the Four Horsemen with the Reservoir Dogs type feel.
Right, for sure.
And then having the brashness of NWO and just not giving a damn and doing whatever to whoever, whenever.
And I was just going to say, speaking of NWO, you guys just worked with the BWO.
Yes.
What was that experience like? How long have you been in the business for?
I have been in since August of last year.
Okay, so
Jesus Christ.
This is what PWS does for you. August of last year, and now you're wrestling in front of over 1,000 people.
Yeah.
On, well, I guess what used to be iPay-per-view, but that's a whole fucking different mess. But, I mean, you're in front of all these people, and you're wrestling the fucking BWO. And what was that like? Did you learn anything in the ring with these guys?
It's amazing. The easiest guys to work with.
No egos, nothing?
Nothing. Everything is direction and advice and keep on trucking. Always keep your head up, keep moving forward. Something happens, keep on going. Nothing but sound advice from Stevie, Meany, Nova, obviously Mike Bucci.
Yeah.
Right. All great guys. Nothing but praise for those guys. It was so easy to work with them, and they explained everything. They didn't just say, do this. They said, do this, and then they explained why you would do it, like the reasoning behind it.
What was it like filming the vignettes that you guys did? Because that's probably obviously the first time that you've probably done anything like that, I'm assuming. I could be wrong. The vignettes, which we all saw at the PWS shows. What was that like, and what was that aspect of the business like, and learning that portion of it outside of the in-ring stuff?
It's just it kind of helps you build your character, and like, it's fun. Like, you don't do that stuff all the time, and half the stuff that you see on most of the we were trying to be different way. Like, we have, like, okay, wow, that'll catch your eye. Syndotron, you look at that, look at what they're doing, like, just coming off as like this badass group.
And it looked official, and it looked like you guys, like, were going to come in and really make an impact with PWS. And initially, they had you lay out Destruction, if I'm not mistaken, right? Was it that?
Yes.
That's what it was? And then you guys got put in with the BWO. Where was the shift there?
How did that come about?
Yeah.
Meany was the guest commissioner.
That's right.
And then
The run-in at the end.
My video popped up after Destruction had pinned...
Yes.
Because I thought you guys were going to go into something with the...
Yeah, Damian Gibbs.
He beat Gibbs.
Yeah.
And then you sent out your guys.
The guys came out, you know, basically surprised from the crowd.
Yeah.
Those guys, awesome.
Those guys being Mr. Gamble, Mr. Bowens, Mr. Wayward.
Three top shelf guys.
Oh, awesome guys. You can all go. There's not like one slacker on that team like you guys.
No.
And you're all like distinctive differently. Like different.
Yeah, everyone's got their own personality, their own charisma.
Yeah. It's
basically
a great
mix. Everyone's trying to. We did a group, and we're all trying to find ourselves within the group, having our own direction, having our own roles, and but doing it all within the Untouchables.
Did you put this group together, or was it something that Eric or Pat was like, "We're gonna put you guys together"?
No, that was something that me and another student came up with.
That's great.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and we laid it out to Pat and Pat Buck, and he basically loved the idea right from the jump street, and then a few tweaks here and there. We explained what we were going for, and he loved it.
Now you guys are all from the first and second graduating classes of the PWS school.
Yeah,
that speaks volumes for what PWS does as a whole. You know, we've been with them since Pat Buck kind of took over the reins, and just to see how they've taken back the amount of star power they're bringing, because they're creating their own star power,
which is what I love.
And you're, for one, and the Untouchables and the Damian Gibbs and the Destruction, and everyone has their own niche and their own gimmick, and it's refreshing to see that in independent wrestling, where it's actually working.
Yeah, it brings me back to, it's a different, completely different monster, but it brings me back to the glory days of like ECW.
There it is.
When they had the Ravens and the Sandmans, like these guys that were relatively like,
dude,
you know,
even not
on
even
the independence, no one really knew. They came into ECW, they had their own characters, and they got over. And that's what I see PWS doing, creating their own characters, and the crowd's actually responding to like you guys, to Starman, the Drunken Swashbuckler, Craven Varro. I mean, like all these guys that are there.
You make that ECW comparison, you could even go even lower down than the Sandmans and the Ravens, like the Chris Chettis and the Louis Spicolis and these guys and the FBI that were just... They all got over, and they have their own fan base, and that's what I've been saying for months now on the show. You look at any show that we've done, that the PWS, they make their own stars in addition to relying on the names, and these own stars have their own fans, and these young guys that are a year, 2 years out have their own following, and it's incredible, and that's something that I honestly saw in you, and that's not just because you're sitting to the left of me.
Yeah, it is. You called him a fucking douche before he showed up.
But no, I am on the left of him, so.
I'm glad I got my directions right, actually. That was actually the biggest accomplishment of that.
I am left.
And I saw...
I'm left over here, left.
And something you individually, and a lot of the guys, Destruction, Gibbs, they all have a unique quality, and they're not just putting guys all on there that are the exact same. And the fact that you were able to come up with this Untouchables gimmick, which I didn't know about until I got to the show.
Right. I showed you the last video.
And he showed me the thing. I'm like, and it blew my mind. And I was like, this is
right
incredible.
Away.
And this is going to be something big. And it would be shocking to me if you're not up there competing with Bonesaw and the top guys in the company. What are your aspirations, obviously, right now in PWS, and actually for the Untouchables group as a whole?
Well, I like to, Flair is like, Ric Flair is some inspiration for that, especially with the Horsemen and everything like that.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not comparing us to them by any means. I'm just saying that's like, there's four of us, four of them. We're trying to like see, like, we get a lot of, what am I trying to say?
Boners.
Those two.
Big fat boners.
We
get comparisons?
There's comparisons, but we're trying to do it in our own unique kind of way. And if it's not displayed yet, it's going to come that way. Because we're still relatively young. I think we've only made 3 appearances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the show. And, you know, we're getting more familiar with each other and working in the ring together and stuff like that. And, I mean, we try to take bits and pieces from everything. That's why I say the Horsemen, like DX, NWO, all that. You just take little bits and pieces from everything, try and mold your character out of that, doing it as a unit. And like, you're gonna see, it's noticeable now that you can see some of what we're trying to do. Like, we even took from the Spirit Squad. We have high spirits now. That was what we just did to Little Mac at the last show.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not calling it the high spirits, but I mean, just you know, little bits and pieces
things,
stuff like that. Yeah. As far as like aspirations and stuff like that, like I definitely want to get to the top at some point. You know, it's all, you know, paying your dues and working your way up the ladder. I'm in no rush. I'm still, like, hungry to learn and everything like that. So, I mean, just doing what I'm a company guy, man. I want to do what's good for the company and myself.
Absolutely.
At the same time.
Yeah,
but, you know, it's just I'm enjoying my time with PWS for sure, because, I mean, you see the cards. People that are competing on the cards, and just to say that you're on that card is pretty cool.
That is pretty
cool.
And
then, like, it's just motivation to keep trying to be better and better and you know, further yourself.
Right. Now, you PWS, is that the school that is the first time you ever stepped into a ring was in PWS?
It is not.
Okay. Where was your first experience, like,
all right,
training?
I'm 31 now.
Attaboy.
Yeah, no shit. I started when I was 17 with Blast.
Blast.
From Demolition.
Oh,
wow.
Demolition,
the
fourth.
Blast.
Oh, wow, Blast. That's
Jesus.
Yeah.
Actually, the fifth Demolition, really.
Does it even matter?
No. No.
But I started with school with him in Staten Island.
Blast.
And
school. Wait, what did he take you for there? Like, how much did they charge you, contract? Like,
it
was
wasn't
like?
Bad.
I don't
remember it being bad. And I was young. I was only 17. And
yeah,
I was one of his first students in the school. Granted, it only lasted like 6 months because he closed the doors and
took off.
I hope he told you and he just didn't show up one day and there was a padlock on the place.
He just showed up. It was like a Fridays.
It kind of happened that way.
It's like a
it
Nathan's.
Happened that way. Because he was involved. He did that. And that was when Richmond County Wrestling was still around when they were part of NWA.
And they were around for 6 months, and then that kind of, like, I think it was, I'm saying 6 months, I might be being generous. And then that stopped. And then, I don't know if you're familiar with the Owens, Zeig.
No. Oh, Zeig, yes.
Yeah, he started a school after that, and then I went to him, and that was a complete clusterfuck. Stopped. And then kind of had to get my life on track. That's when I joined the military. Finished that. I came back, joined the NYPD, and then I, when I was in the police academy, I tried looking for another school, so I went to Johnny Rods for a day.
Yeah.
And
heard
I
some Rods stories.
Nothing but good things about Johnny Rods.
I'm not going to get into that. I don't like bad-mouthing people. Like, I joke around with people and stuff like that. I'm not into bad-mouthing or anything like that, but I was literally there for an hour, and then I walked out.
Did you see Johnny while you were there?
All of 10 minutes.
Wow.
And then I left. And so, I know plenty of, I have friends on the job that went to him. I know plenty of guys in the business that went to him. And I just did not like the vibe that I had, so I bailed. And then randomly, this is where I'm a little embarrassed, because like my knowledge isn't up to par as far as independence and stuff like that. I randomly, such a mark move right now, but I bought a replica belt from some kid off eBay, and he happened to live on Staten Island, so I met up with him to pick it up. And
it wasn't Phil, was it?
It wasn't you, you fucking jerk
I don't
off.
Live on Staten Island, you fucking
no,
piece
but
of
you're
meat.
The biggest belt mark I know.
Well, anyway, can I get back to topic? Jesus,
yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, it's about the guest. Follow.
I thought we were
going to
shit on Tony together.
Shit on everybody. Jesus There's Christ. Time in due time.
All right, get out the glass. Get out the glass table.
Seriously, but no, I went to him. I picked up the belt, and I was going to meet Hogan, and he fucking told me about PWS, and he's involved and all this other shit. Ended up being
story. Wait. You picked up the belt. You were going to meet Hogan?
Yeah.
Not the Hulkster.
The Hulkster, brother.
I've never met him. That's the one guy.
Would you
hey, I got to be honest. He gets a lot of knocks. That dude was aces when I met him.
Yeah?
Aces. Oh, yeah. For That's the fans, awesome. Of course. Sure.
So in between the time that I picked up the belt from this kid, he told me about PWS, and that was about the whole the Sid debacle.
Oh, around
that
time.
We were at that show.
Yeah, we were there.
That this kid was like one of the talent vendors.
That number still works, by the way.
Yeah. So I went to tell, and he told me about the school and everything like that, and pretty much gave me Pat's number. I got in touch with Pat, and then I went on vacation, came back, joined the school, and then in between picking up the belt and going to meet Hogan, I was having my first match was the 5-on-5.
Wow.
With Team Aesthetics versus Team Destruction, and when I met Hogan was awesome. He gave me advice.
That's
he
cool.
yelled at his security guard for trying to rush me along. Spoke to me for like 15 minutes and just told me to like,
wow,
get the fuck out.
Yeah,
of
he was really cool. As much knocking as he gets, he was really cool that day.
Hogan giving awesome. Back to the business.
Yeah, look at him caring.
Well, you know why? Because you see him on the fucking reality show. You hear all these stories like he's trying to bilk for money and he's gonna walk and TNA is still shit even though he's there and. Nice to hear a good story.
No, it's
about
stories
him.
Like that actually, and you hear a lot more than you think that you would about him because he's not I don't think he's a bad person. He just like business wise, who knows? But
that reality show didn't do shit for him. Oh, no. Everyone knows reality is not really reality.
Yeah,
so of course. I mean, you have to take everything with a grain of salt when you watch that.
So
shit.
Other than you mentioned Ric Flair, who else did you enjoy watching? Because we're all the same age here, just about now. I thought you were younger, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I'm up there. Yeah, everyone thinks I'm like in my mid-20s.
I thought you were.
No,
because I'm 31, so I thought you were.
Yeah, no, I'm 31. I'm like pissed off that it took me so long
to get to 31. I know, right? I thought it was gonna be 25 years
to find
to get
a good
30.
Quality school and like you know I mean. Granted, I wasn't one of the boys back then, and I'm still working on being one of the boys now because I'm paying my dues. But from what I've seen in the three schools prior into this one, the professionalism, the way things are run, like it's a legit thing. And like that, this is why I personally would like to see PWS succeed and surpass what TNA is doing in WWE. Because I'd rather be one of the boys from PWS than be a boy from WWE at this point.
Not one person in this room, I think, would disagree with
you. No, I
think
we're all on the same. Yeah. They extended an olive branch to us, not knowing what, you know, we were about. And fast forward a year and a half, and it's, I mean, every time, me personally, every time I go to a PWS show, I go out of my way to thank Eric, thank Pat. It's just a blessing for us to be involved with them because we're nothing more than four wrestling fans who just love the sport.
Yeah, dude, like, we were doing this for about 3 months, and Matt just reached out to Pat. And he was like, yeah, we do a wrestling podcast. He's like, yeah, sure, I'll come on. had no idea who we were.
Mm.
Gave us what, 2 hours?
Well, Chris had no idea who we were until he got here today.
Yeah, that's a fucking lie. I know I got charged $10 for a t-shirt, and I gave all 4 of you bastards free ones.
I'm wearing it right now.
I ain't get a fucking free t-shirt.
You're full of shit. I gave all 4 of you t-shirts in Monroe, New Jersey. In
Monroe.
God's country.
I wasn't in Monroe.
I wasn't. I've never stepped foot in Monroe once, but
yeah, we were
not,
in Monroe
neither here nor there.
Listen, I don't
want
to hear it. I had the greatest independent Legends opening bout Iron Man match in the history of wrestling.
Yes.
I will give you $10 for a t-shirt.
I will give you $20 for a t-shirt.
Yeah, I'll give you $20 for a t-shirt.
I want to know where my... Where my t-shirt? I wasn't in Monroe. Yeah,
neither was I.
Monroe.
What'd you do with the t-shirts, Eddie?
I'm wearing one.
I gave you t-shirts.
Yeah, I'm wearing
one. I said he has one for all the boys, and I gave them to you.
Hey, don't throw me under the bus here, Chris.
He's hoarding.
I'm going to throw you under the bus. Now I'm giving you another free t-shirt for
a
giveaway.
I got
$100 worth of merch, and I got to pay $10 plus
shipping. I got $10 in my wallet. You want $10?
Let's not go there. Let's talk. I'm going to ask him one
more question. I got one girlfriend wearing one Chris Payne shirt. I got another girlfriend wearing another Chris Payne shirt.
And these are all
What the fuck?
Yeah, dude, for real.
I got a hooker wearing a Chris Payne shirt.
That's fucking beat.
Eddie had one Bud Light, so that's what that does to him.
And he's washing it down with water.
Yes.
He has a chaser.
That's what it is.
Chases it with water, man.
I'm really hurt.
So am I.
We give everybody shirts, and the one time we get shirts, Mr. fucking Grubby Fingers over here pockets.
You know who Grubby Fingers really was?
You didn't give me a shirt, so stop saying you give out shirts.
I gave you a shirt.
We sold him
a
shirt.
I bought it from you guys.
No.
I paid $10 on... I'll bring in my PayPal statement.
You may have done it with PayPal, but at the PWS show,
Negative.
I threw you and Mike Dell a shirt.
I never got one.
Mike
I swear to God, I never got it.
What size are you?
I am a...
Muscle. Size muscle.
I'm a size muscle.
I got a medium and
a 3XL. Let's stop bitching about stupid shit. We'll figure it out.
I'll tell you what happened to you.
Yeah, but
shirts.
The people don't want to listen to this.
Sure they do.
Shit what people
this quality
want to
listening
to?
Material, okay? They'll listen to anything.
I had Kanzer Gideon with me, one of the Fallen Angels.
Rise
above professional
Kanzer.
Wrestler. He was in Monroe with me. Chris Payne gave me a shirt. And gave him shirts.
I'm butthurt.
He drove. I guarantee you that they are probably still in the back of his car.
I actually said to you, because I had to go in the back, I said, the table's over there. Go pick out your sizes and give them out.
Yeah. They're probably still in his car.
But
Gideon.
I'm really fucking butthurt,
I'm
too.
I'm butthurt, too.
Kanzer
I would have
Gideon.
Wore my fucking Chris Payne
You're butthurt
Payne
for different reasons.
Dude, and if I didn't know you didn't have
Wait,
shirts,
which one
dude,
of us?
We had shirts. We gave everybody
which
shirts.
Which one of us?
All of us.
Yeah.
Three out of four.
We'll figure it out.
Eddie didn't tell you about the double dildo challenge when we're done with the episode.
Anyway, back to wrestling.
Kevin, did you bring the crackers?
Yeah, I think it's Kevin's turn tonight.
So
I was a fan of your Iron Man match with Lifeguard, by the way. That was Lifeguard, right?
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
So Saturday night, Knights of Columbus, Avenel, New Jersey, all four members of the Untouchables, they're going to be in action. You're taking on the Revolting Blob.
This is true.
Fucking awesome.
What's your take on that? What are you going to do without the pile driver?
I don't know.
What an ass.
God.
Might break out the million-dollar dream. I don't know.
Do it.
I like
That'd
that.
Be awesome.
You know what?
Dude, Outback Jack clothesline.
If you can, big boot and leg drop just for us.
I'll see what I can do.
I'll be there.
I know.
I'll be there.
I'll see what I can do.
I
actually, do a pile driver if you can get him up and not have his muffler drop out. And point to Eddie. Call it out like old fucking Don Morocco style, the Jesse Ventura. This one's for you.
I'll shit.
And then have a meatball sub in the corner while you're...
Yeah, I love these fight nights, too. It's a chance to showcase the originals of PWS.
Yeah.
You know, without
Is
all
Jewosaurus
the...
wrestling?
Hoopla.
Look, I got a fucking problem with this, by the way.
With what?
The fucking mystery
box?
Oh,
the
box?
Mystery box. Yeah, that, see that?
Oh, the box of
you
wizardry?
You guys are talking about WWE stealing from you? We've had boxes of wizardry for over, what, 2 years now?
I found a whole fucking a Rubbermaid full of boxes
All
of wizardry.
You know what we're going to do? We might as well announce it now. We have boxes of wizardry. We're going to do the Shining Wizards Black Christmas sale. Go on
Kwanzaa
anyway,
sale?
Yeah. All right, we'll do Kwanzaa. We'll call it the Kwanzaa sale. All
right.
We'll do... If you buy two boxes, we'll throw in a third free. You'll get three boxes of wizardry for $20 shipped.
Oh, I like that. Good
is
call.
That a good idea? Are we cool with that? That was Skype. Don't worry
oh,
about
okay.
it.
Okay.
I'm fine with it.
Are we cool with that? We could do that?
I'm good with it. I want them out of my fucking closet.
Because we're almost out of shirts, too. We don't even have any shirts left. We have smalls, mediums, and 3XLs. Hey, do you have a kid, like a nephew? And oh, you got a nephew, right?
Mm-hmm.
3 years old? You think he'll fit in like an extra small shirt? I got kids' shirts.
He'll grow into it.
I'll hook you up, dude. If I had your size, I'd give you your size. We got to know what you
had my size.
Well, yeah, we did. We had a lot of your size, actually.
Everyone's butt hurt, and he's in the bathroom.
He's jerking off to the fact that he's got four Chris Payne shirts.
I can't believe that's fucking.
I did not listen. I don't have a Chris Payne shirt.
Either and we don't get shirts like we're usually the givers, not the givees. You know,
dude. Seriously, that's it's so like awesome. An inferno match down here. What is going on?
Sorry, dude. It's getting hot.
All right, well, we're about to.
What, we're getting close?
Are we getting close?
Yeah.
Do you want to announce the winners of our
do you want to finish up, see if Chris has anything else we want to talk to him about? Or?
Well, Chris.
Chris, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
What do you want to talk about?
Whatever you want to talk about. You're the guest.
Yeah, this is your forum forever, right now. Man. You've got 24
You're
seconds.
The one that has to go back to Staten Island. We got to go 15 minutes away.
I got
to
go to work.
Tonight?
Oh, tonight?
What are you?
So
he's a freaking.
You stationed out in Staten Island or you got
to
go?
I am in Staten Island, but tonight I got to go to Manhattan.
What part of Manhattan?
Ari Moss.
Midtown.
Oh, that's not terrible, is it?
Well, when it's, you know, snowy, icy, and freezing.
You walk
sucks.
Or you?
I got a car, but I'm going to be outside on a foot patrol.
Oh, that sucks.
Do you know Ice-T, Benson, Stabler?
I know all of them.
Nice.
I work hand in hand with them.
You could have said the actual NYPD cop that we actually do know.
Well, I know a Port Authority, like, detective,
yeah,
too.
They're not NYPD.
I know. I'm not
there
saying
it is.
They
oh,
are.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know Ari, so.
You don't know Ari?
Not personally.
Oh, I thought
I know
you knew
Ari Gold.
Ari Gold, yes, he's an agent of the police.
Were you, Chris, a fan of wrestling growing up?
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, I was.
You mentioned Ric Flair. Who else?
Macho Man. Obviously a Hogan Mark.
For sure.
Don't roll your eyes, dude. Being a Hogan fan is nothing to be ashamed of, dude.
Well, he didn't really wrestle.
You ever check out his stuff in Japan, dude.
All right, I'll check that out.
Seriously.
Matt almost just knocked out Chris Payne with the microphone.
That's all right.
Grazed my eye.
Give him some credit. Knocked out. It's made of foam.
He'd sell it. He'd still sell it.
Yeah, I was a fan. Kind of like what Bennett said before. Watching it when I was like in my early childhood, like 5 or 6, and then fell out of it, got back into it, fell out of it, you know. Definitely watched it during the Attitude Era, and then going overseas and stuff like that, kind of fell out of it, and then when I came back, got into it again, so.
Right, right. And now you're really, really into it.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenal.
Touching back to, like, when getting back into wrestling and stuff like that, like, this is, like, the first time in the four experiences that I've had that I can actually feel like there's a chance for something to happen.
Yeah, you know, I don't understand how you can be so optimistic when every single experience you had before PWS was just such shit.
Grass is always greener, man.
It's weird, though, man. Like,
that's
everything,
for sure.
Like, three times, that's a lot to become fucking discouraged with. And you're like, yeah.
Well, if you give up, you never succeed. And look, you know, he didn't give up. Now look where he's at.
I understand that. But some people even going through that once would have been like, is this really what the fucking business is? Like,
that's,
you know,
not someone that loves the business.
This is true.
You were going back to Hogan. He had his leg broke and came back.
Well, this is why I'm so up and up on PWS, because, like, even the three other experiences that I had, like, you look at this one now and it's like, wow, this is real deal.
It is real deal.
And it seems like legit. Everybody cares about each other. Everybody's, you know, it's a real team effort, and there's no gunners in the group, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
It really is. Yeah.
One of the guys that are in the class posted a picture of everybody sitting backstage.
It was
Dave.
It was Destruction.
Yeah,
was
Destruction
Dave,
posted it. And it wasn't just the students and the guys that have been around forever. It was everybody.
Yeah.
Hero was chilling in the crowd, chilling in the stands with us watching. Moff was watching. You know, you had the names back there watching. Or BWO was back there.
Are you going to be there for the new open house? Are you going to be there for the open house or no?
I will.
You will be there for the
open
house?
That's one of the training days.
Yeah, awesome. That's December 18th, PWS open house.
Definitely.
You want to go observe? You want to go try out? Manager, wrestler, you know, referee, announcer, valet. You can go there and just it's an open house. You can just go check it out, and that's an amazing thing. You don't get that anywhere else because it's free.
And there's something else that they do that a lot of schools I don't think do. Because I stopped by a couple of the classes just to, you know, meet some of the guys and check things out. I came on promo day, and what they do is they have all the guys
that must be awesome.
And the girls in the room. It's like an improv class.
Yep.
You have a certain amount of time to get up and just get your point and your character across. And Pat Buck was like, you know, he was giving criticism. Everyone was clapping after and supportive of all the people cutting the promos. And, like, that's just, like, that's awesome to work not just on your wrestling skill but the character development and talking, because that's a huge part of it. So I think PWS really has, like, a leg up as far as that's concerned, too.
Definitely.
Yeah, 100%.
The whole family vibe is just, it's just such
yeah,
a great thing.
It's unbelievable what kind of family vibe we have. I mean, it's pretty much like a fraternity. I mean, obviously with the girls, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
for sure.
Everyone cares about everyone in that school. It's not just about, oh, what am I going to get in during my match, or what can I get in during practice to make me look better than the other person. There's no burying somebody else. It's always about bettering yourself, bettering your, you know, your brother, and getting to the top together.
And for everyone that knows that we're completely ruined kayfabe, which we do all the time, you don't get that vibe when you go to that show. Like, I don't get that vibe when I go to that show that I know. Listen, I know everything. You, Eddie, you know. Matt, you know. Tony, you know. Obviously, you know. You don't get that vibe that kayfabe is broken, even though you already know. And you just go there and you're watching a kick-ass wrestling show.
Oh, yeah.
And even though that I know what's going on, you don't get that. You get lost in the moment of a PWS show, and the matches just speak for themselves, and it's just an incredible vibe, and it's awesome, and they provide you with a kick-ass wrestling show no matter what kind of fan you are, casual, smart, whatever, and they cater to everyone, and it's just a good a good time, and
something for everyone.
It really is. It 100% is. And so as many times as we talk about them every week on this show, I still highly, highly recommend you go check out those shows, because no matter how smart of a fan you are, I guarantee you for at least
three
matches or whatever, you will lose the fact that you think you know what's going on in wrestling, because that's how good they are.
Yeah, I agree. And like Chris said, they do have something for everybody.
Yeah.
You know,
you suspend your belief?
Yeah, suspend your disbelief.
What are you going to do?
Like, you'll have the Untouchables. Then you'll have the Lifeguard, a Little Mac. But then you bring out, you know, Reality Check or the Powers.
Dan Moff. That Dan Moff Gibbs match 2 shows ago was probably one of the stiffest, greatest matches I've ever seen, like, ever.
Yeah.
And it was just great. There's something for everyone
in that show. I credit PWS for lighting a fire under Dan Moff's ass and really bringing him back.
Yeah, you know,
I've
turned the corner on Dan Moff. I'm a fan. I'm a fan again.
Dan Moff is the man. That guy has given me so much guidance at class. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, talk about that. Talk about what Dan Moff actually brings to the table with PWS as a trainer, and obviously now as a friend.
He brings in experience. He brings in knowledge. Just the stuff that he does and, like, the way he explains it to you, like, you can't get that anywhere else. Like, you're not going to get that anywhere else. The people that we have come to class and help us train, everything like that. You got Moff, Mario Baccara.
Yes.
Pat Buck. We have other guest trainers who I'm not going to get into because, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But the people that come in, RJ Brewer, unbelievable.
Right.
And they're always, it's not always the same bland stuff. It's always something different, always from somebody else's experiences. And it's nothing but knowledge that everyone just sits there and soaks in. And, like, everyone just, it's like a gathering. It's almost like a cult because everyone sits around stands outside the ring. And when that person's talking, all eyes are on that person. And you're just soaking everything in. And it's just, it really is unbelievable. And it's nice to see the differences that everyone has that they can bring to the table. Like, it's not always the same exact move. It's something different, a different twist, or a different way to do the move so it looks more unique.
Right.
It really is. Moff's, these guys are top-notch, man. And
for sure.
This is, being at this school now is the reason, like, those other three schools don't mean shit to me.
Awesome.
Now, I know you mentioned you didn't want to get into the guest teachers, but were you there a week or so ago when Curtis Hawkins was there?
Was I? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, I know Kevin is a huge Curt Hawkins fan. Just what was that experience like for you to be able to learn from someone who's on the WWE roster and has a wealth of knowledge?
It doesn't get any better than that. And they don't do him justice at the WWE because that kid is so knowledgeable. He explained every little thing between, like, the reason why you stand the way you do on the outside waiting for a tag in.
He's so good at that.
Unbelievable. Like, and it's explained so well. It's like, wow, that fucking makes sense. Like,
yeah, psychology.
And it's
so
just
important.
Stuff that you pick up on and the little stuff that's going to make you that much better than the other person.
Right.
And it's, I'm going to put us up there because that's what different makes us different than any other independent promotion out there.
Yes. Absolutely.
We always have everybody else that's trying to make us the best out there. It's not just, okay, go out there and do a good match. It's, they explain why it's done, the reasons that it's done, and him coming from WWE, knowing what they want, stuff like that, and then, I mean, how he's been in there forever.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been around for a while, too. And
that was, of all the shows that we've been at, that was, like, my biggest mark out moment because I was such a huge fan. I'm such a huge fan of Kurt Hawkins.
So am I.
Oh, yeah. Him and Zack Ryder, too. I was from the Major Brothers when they came in and all the way through now, even his gimmick where I thought he could have, when he had the cane, he was pulling the cane out with him and Tyler Rex. I was like, dude, I'm like, this guy could be amazing, and it kills me that he's not. And I'm happy that he's with you guys. Well,
that's why I roll my eyes when people bring up like Sin Cara and other people like that. And I'm just like, why the fuck are these guys getting pushes? And it's like
or
the
who
same
they,
old
they
shit. How many times can people post about Botchomania with this guy? And it's just like there's other
props
people.
To Matthew.
And I'm not trying to knock anybody because they're there for a reason.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like when's enough and you give somebody else a chance.
Yeah.
Sounds like Owen Hart.
Enough is enough. It's time for a change.
It's time for a change. I'm not a nugget.
Well, then you have them. They opened up their whole facility, and now they're signing people that basically are either
deprogramming and reprogramming.
No, they're signing. They're not signing wrestlers.
Topic, man.
From the greatest wrestling school
in
soccer.
They just signed a fucking soccer star.
Yeah.
What dues did he pay? What independent promotion did he start with?
His name
they're
is going to be
throw him down at developmental.
His name is
going to
be like
so he's going up.
Goalie Ole.
But you know what it is? Unfortunately, it's Vince McMahon. Has ruined the wrestling.
This is Triple
business.
H, man.
I think so too.
If Vince didn't,
developmental, it's all Triple H.
Yeah, but you know what? It wasn't like Triple H was like, oh, I'm just gonna do it this way. Vince took the WWF product, made it entertainment, made it WWE, and just went and he plucked whoever he wanted, and signed. You know, the Great Khali wasn't a fucking wrestler.
All right, Great Khali is different.
No, he's not different. He's a fucking...
Oh, he's different.
He's a big guy who got shot three times when he was a cop.
He's definitely
He can't
different.
Wrestle for fucking dog shit.
But
that's somebody else's spot.
Why are you screaming?
No, I agree with you in theory. I agree with you in theory, but...
There's a family
attractions
upstairs.
Are the... Like, I mean, Andre the Giant obviously had
Chris
talent
Payne.
In the ring.
Chris Payne.
Oh, please.
Chris
Payne.
I'm not comparing...
Do not make
I'm not,
that comparison.
I'm not making the comparison, but I'm making
okay,
the attraction. No, no, no.
Chris Payne.
Come on now.
Stop
this
playing with that thing.
Oh, yeah, that.
I'm sorry, is this annoying?
Yes. As annoying as my comparison to Great Khali to Andre the Giant.
Enough said, I'll stop.
All right. And,
Jesus Christ.
Listen, I understand why he does stuff for reasons. Like, Great Khali, all right, I hate it, but I get it. He's a giant, giant man who is bigger than The Undertaker, and that's why they brought him in.
But it ruins the business because there's a dying breed of wrestlers out there, the CM Punks, the Daniel Bryans, and the Colt Cabanas.
Great Khali is not taking anybody's spot.
Yes, he is.
I don't think it's a dying breed, by the way.
I
think it's a breed that's not
Daniel
Bryan's
not going to work The Undertaker. Great Khali will work The Undertaker.
Daniel
Mark
Bryan
Henry
work
will work
The Undertaker.
He can.
CM Punk worked The Undertaker.
He can. And,
and it was match of the year, regardless
point,
of what anyone
valid
says.
Valid point. 9 times out of 10, that's not happening. Randy Orton's working The Undertaker. Great Khali's working The Undertaker. Mark Henry's working The Undertaker. Big Daddy V's working The Undertaker. I understand why they do that for that.
Jeff Hardy worked The Undertaker.
That was the Hardys. That was the underdog spot. You get the underdog spot the same way you get the other way around spot.
Don't take my spot.
But he's
liver
giving,
spot.
There's guys out there that are busting their ass. This guy, Chris Payne, he's a fucking... He works a day job. He goes to wrestling school. He's here for some ungodly reason doing this podcast. He's busting his ass, and
commendable
and
respectable.
Some fucking nobody,
deservable.
Some nobody soccer player is getting signed to a
WWE contract.
Oh,
the soccer player I don't agree with
what?
At all.
Well,
the soccer player
that's
I don't agree with.
Well, that's like the power lifter and the guy that's never watched wrestling before in his life, but because he was an amateur collegiate wrestler, he deserves a spot.
Jack Swagger.
Same shit, dude.
Again, I'm not bashing anybody.
I like Jack Swagger.
I'll do it.
They're going to pluck people from everywhere just to try to fucking Menina Mazuzu. Fucking wrestle at WrestleMania with shit on her drawers, dude.
But these are the reasons why I want to see PWS grow.
And yeah, because it's guys that want to be there.
It's
love wrestling.
It's
guys that deserve to be there.
I'm looking at the PWS Fight Night poster. You got Heavenly Bodies, Black Hollywood, Powers of Destruction, Untouchables, Craig Steele, of course Dan Moff, and of course the Swashbuckler. I mean, these guys are all. Well, listen, God forbid the one word I fuck up is Swashbuckler.
Kevin's angry.
And it's just
I didn't know bad mouthing the Great Khali would put you in a tizzy.
Kevin's passionate about the Great Khali.
I hate the Great Khali, but I understand why he's there.
I hate it, but I get it.
I understand why he's there, too.
Yeah, you look at him, and it's
Vince
likes the
big freak. I don't understand why you're sitting here on the couch, sir.
Why not?
Why not?
Thank you for coming.
Why not?
Because I love wrestling. It's my passion. If I could do that as my career, I 100% would stop being a cop.
What do you do?
No
midnights?
Question. No, I do day tours.
Tonight?
I worked this morning.
And now you're going back tonight?
Worked this morning. Went to the gym. Went to wrestling practice to set the ring up. Left wrestling practice, came right here. Going back to work right after this.
Wow.
Gotta go, man.
I got to go for... Machine. I got to be there for 10:45, 11.
Till when?
Really,
9:10 in the morning.
Save it for a close.
And then I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow and go to wrestling practice for 3 hours.
Do you want
to
get Mr. Payne's plugs in for him?
Yes, let's plug Mr.
Why
Payne.
Why are we playing this guy's music?
Because Kevin loves him.
Because I'm infatuated with the great Kali.
Infatuated.
If you want to get out and you want to support...
You want a whiner, but you got...
All right, let Matt give it the plugs.
Bangladesh.
If you want to get out, you want to support Pro Wrestling Syndicate, you want to support Chris Payne, the Untouchables, get to Avalon, New Jersey, Saturday. It's a double shot, 5:30 p.m., Knights of Columbus, 109 Morrissey Ave, PWS Fight Night. Oh, nice. I like that. You can see this man, Mr. Payne, one quarter of the Untouchables, take on the Revolting Blob. Bonesaw defends his PWS heavyweight title against King Hippo. Tag titles are on the line. The Heavenly Bodies with GMC defend against Black Hollywood. Like we said, Craig Steele, Dan Maff, Craven Varro.
Wow.
What'd I say, Maff?
Yes. The rest of the Untouchables will be there.
Don't forget their names. Mr.
Powers
Bones, Mr. Gamble, Mr. Wayward.
Best looking Untouchable. Go.
100% me.
Chris Payne.
Hands
Chris
down.
Payne. Chris Payne.
$20 tickets at the door. Get down. ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. Check it out. Fight nights at 5:30. The women's wrestling, if you're a creep like Tony, they go on at 8 o'clock. They celebrate their one-year anniversary. They're doing a 12-woman Majestic, the Majestic 12 tournament. La Rosa Negra defends her title against Missy Sampson.
She got killer.
Best of three falls is going to be awesome. If you're a wrestling fan, you want to drop $40, you get about six hours of wrestling excitement. It's still less than a fucking WWE pay-per-view.
And you get better quality.
Definitely.
Yeah, true. And it'll go faster than Raw.
And it's a very nice environment where you get to interact with a lot of the wrestlers, talent, a lot of autographs, a lot of just hanging out, having a good time, and you're supporting independent wrestling, especially Pro Wrestling Syndicate. And if you want to follow Mr. Payne on the Twitter box, it's House of C. Payne, P-A-Y-N-E. Follow him, and he'll tell you to go shit in your hat or something funny like that. Do you do stuff like that, Chris?
Yeah, I usually point at fat guys and let them know they are.
All right, well, you got two here.
I'm glad he's not pointing at me.
Oh, he is.
I'm just lazy.
You're just lazy.
I'll point for you.
Also, this weekend, Ring of Honor Wrestling, if you are in the New York area.
And he finishes with this.
I know.
Oh, there's more. Don't worry.
Oh, mother of pearl.
Check out Final Battle 2013, our guest Michael Bennett's in a stretcher match against Kevin Steen.
What will he do?
Yeah, watch his moveset go from 1 to 0. Yeah.
Should he bring the neck brace?
Loser loses the pile driver.
Hey, he got through that.
What will he do?
What will he do?
That's
got
to be a soundbite forever.
Young Bucks, Michael Elgin, Adam Cole. Lots of action there. And then, of course, I got to plug our buddy Drew Gulak. CZW's doing Cage of Death also. If you're in disgusting, gross, the Philadelphia area, and you haven't killed yourself already, because Philadelphia's fucking gross. It is. Don't fucking roll your eyes.
Half of their football team is inmates.
Come on, Philly Fanatics are rapists.
Come on, son. They got a court system in the basement of the stadium.
They sure do.
I thought they all do.
So if you haven't been raped by the Philly Fanatic and you're a halfway decent human being, check out CZW Cage of Death. Our friend Drew Gulak defends his title against Chris Hero.
I love Drew Gulak.
And Davey Richards, who left Ring of Honor, will also be in action against Chris Dickinson. And, Avenel, New Jersey, Knights of Columbus, PWS Fight Night. Mr. Payne in the house with the rest of the Untouchables, breaking necks and backs. And
cash and checks.
Revolting blobs.
Nice.
That are going to pass.
We have a bounce.
Ooh, I'm fucking gassed on the fucking plugs. Holy shit.
Sorry, we could have stopped with PWS now.
We have a winner of our Survivor Series tournament thing. Congratulations to Mr. Rick Osborne. We enjoyed his entry the most. I'm too fucking tired to read it.
Let me read it.
Actually, no, I don't want to. The one thing I do want to comment on is how stupid Christine from the Sign Girls is. Christine.
So you read the loser, but you won't read the one that actually won.
Here's the rules were very clear.
I got it.
Okay.
The rules were...
You know, now he wants to do something.
It was Shut up. It was WWF history. You had to keep the heels and the faces on separate sides. You had to do a woman's match, a tag match, a mid-card madness, and a heavyweight title match. And you couldn't use people more than once.
Every match had one person.
Well, rated RKO would be fine if Randy Orton wasn't involved in the main event. Here's a better one. The Hart Foundation and the Outsiders were on the same side, but Razor Ramon was in the mid-card madness, and Bret Hart was in the championship match.
We love you girls.
No, we love you girls, but wow.
Way
enough
off
said,
mark.
Bowling.
Way off the mark
no,
on that
Hummer's
one.
Entry was pretty okay, I think. But yeah.
Check our Facebooker for the winners. Post.
Yeah, we'll post it up there. And we'll post up ours again so you guys could shit on us. And Shiny Wizards Network.
Wait. Since we're doing liners live, let's get our Chris Payne liner.
I would love to do that.
Break down the fourth wall. Lower that shit.
Yeah, right. Shut
should I off. Pronounce all the words or should I just do it with my Staten Island accent?
A Staten Island accent.
Yeah, please.
Just
make it
just be you, man.
Unlistenable
the wizards.
For our fans.
We gotta get him to read a fucking genius poem to sign us off.
Oh, are we ever gonna end this thing?
Yes.
Four scores and 7 years ago.
I just let him read that and then he could say you're listening to Shining Wizards.
All right. Yeah, let him read a genius poem and then you're listening to the Shining
this
Wizards.
This is Chris Payne.
And this is Chris Payne. Shining.
Perfect. Shining perfect wizards. Way to end the show. Do the plugs while
I'm getting. Don't forget
we are
to
the
check
Shining
out
Wizards Network, swn.shiningwizards.com. You heard 14th, all of the plugs at the beginning of the
December
show, thanks
14th.
To our boy Phil Rea. Phil's got his Christmas show coming up on December 20th.
I am your conscience.
They're broadcasting that live on Rantum Radio. Go back and listen to the plug again, because I forget the information.
I
but
may like men.
I'm actually planning on being there for the show. I don't know if Phil wants to be surprised.
This is way too long for...
And we do have some special guests coming up next week. Should I announce who they are?
Men.
Are they? Yes, they're locked in.
We've got they're
lots
pretty much
of
locked
men.
In.
Okay,
we've got
men.
Crowbar Devin Storm coming on the show
with
finally, my buddy, and we also have the Extreme Rising champion Stevie Richards coming on the show. All for you, all before Christmas, and now a select reading from the tome of Leaping Lanny, Wrestling with Rhyme, read to you by Chris Payne.
Mike's
give
off.
Me un momento.
Plug the t-shirt site.
ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. We have three awesome shirts. The B&M Mark shirt, which Kevin is wearing. The SW Old School logo, which I'm wearing. And the other shirt that no one's wearing.
The Shining Wizards Network and the NWO style logo.
The one that Mike Norenganger designed. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a reading from Leaping Lanny Poffo's Wrestling with Rhyme by Chris Payne.
Awkward silence.
Did you kill the audio over here?
Awkward silence. All right, let me just pick one of these bad boys. I'll go with Jimmy Hart. Jimmy Hart. It's a long one. What? There's a wimpy little manager with a megaphone in hand, telling lies with great authority. At speed to beat the band. From his television interviews, he thinks he's pretty smart. His big mouth is from the South, and he is known as Jimmy Hart. He laughs at such high frequencies that dogs from miles away would sooner be attending a big fireworks display. From the laces of his gym shoes to his pointy little nose, I'm looking for the day when he starts reaping what he sows. He's a hypocritical manager who likes to shuck and jive. He sounds like an album being played at 45. The junkyard dog exposing Jimmy's panties on TV was the most deserving branding ever seen on NBC. The Manager of the Year award was confidence-destroying. It's a shame they didn't have a prize for this year's most annoying. You will not find Jimmy Hart wherever peace of mind survives. He's scratching fingernails on the blackboards of our lives. I am Weeping Lanny.
That was awesome. Ladies and gentlemen.
Fantastic.
Public speaking is my strong suit.
Dude, that was incredible.
We want to thank Chris Payne for coming out tonight.
Mr.
Thank
Payne.
You, brother.
Thank you.
We
Pro Wrestling Syndicate,
this,
The Untouchables.
It's been a pleasure.
Come on down.
December 14th,
this Saturday.
December 14th. Get there.
Check out other talents.
Are we
the
done?
Lifeguard, Craven Varro, Damian Gibbs, Chris. Dave Destruction, the rest of the Untouchables, Mr. Bowen.
Do you have...
You silly bastard.
Do you have a song you'd like to have played out at the end of the night?
Rump Shaker.
Oh, Rex,
ooh,
in effect.
Wow.
Rex in Effect.
That's the first time someone actually came out like that.
Right away, like
boom. Yeah, it's put there because I was laughing too hard.
Sorry.
That's why my jacket costs $800 and yours costs $300.
Oh, wait,
and I don't know
I
what yours costs because I wouldn't wear it.
Always it. The heel.
No, turn it off, retard.
No, that's not Rum Shaker. Oh, it is Rum Shaker.
This is Rum Shaker.
Yeah.
I do sound effects too. I'm like Jones.
Good night, everybody.
Make that louder.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, the guy to my left.
Ah, that's what we call a callback. In the
I remember Shimon. This used to play during ECW on cable access.
I remember I used to
jerk off
like to
this on
the
candy.
Box.
You. And sex is coming in handy.
Oh, shit.
That's hilarious.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Face hits the beat. A wiggle and jiggle can make the night complete.